Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Thursday. It is May 9th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a South Jersey man posing as a code enforcement officer is allegedly terrorizing his neighbors in the Holly Hill section of West Hampton, New Jersey. Police say the man preys on homeowners with unkept lawns and leaves aggressive notes after slashing tires and keying the cars parked in the driveways. The incidents have been going on since last fall, but authorities say they recently escalated this week when he was caught in the act. Police said one victim's camera caught the suspect on home surveillance keying her car after she had just returned from vacation early Monday morning.
Would a legitimate code enforcement officer slash your tires and is that part of the deal?
I don't know.
I thought they would leave something in your door.
Yeah. But I don't know what their limitations are.
So he writes a note, right? Yeah. And at the top it says like code enforcement. Like he's claiming that that's what he's doing in his own way. And then it says cut your lawn, edge your sidewalk. Yeah. You know, it has all these things. And keep clean is the last one.
First, it's a warning. Second, slash tires. Third, keep car.
Right. Yeah. So this really gets under this guy's skin.
And listen, this woman was on vacation.
Oh, my God.
Returned back Monday morning, and he keyed her freaking car.
So that's probably why her lawn got a little bit overgrown.
Dude, Steve, this guy's like the Punisher, but like he's a vigilante code enforcer.
Yeah, of the lawn.
So the woman said she got a camera after
they let their lawn grow. Yeah. They let their yard become unkempt. Something had to be done.
The trimmer.
Yeah.
The Punisher.
The trimmerer.
Yeah, trimmerer.
So the woman said that she got the camera after the first time when he slashed her tires. So he slashed this woman's tires, and then he came back a second time, and the camera had been installed, and it caught him keying the cars. Now, West Hampton police believe that the vandal strikes in the early morning hours between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. When he's walking his dog. There is surveillance footage. I saw it on 6ABC. So if you recognize the person, you're asked to contact authorities.
Listen, there are houses in my neighborhood that periodically, for whatever reason, they don't, you know, every neighborhood has, and they don't get to the lawn, or it's a little unkempt, it doesn't look quite right. You just cut their brake lines. That's
Don't do anything on the surface.
My neighbor just said to me yesterday, "Did you see so and so's lawn? What's up with that?" Like, it bothers people. And I said to her, it does bother some people, but I said, no, I didn't. Like, I didn't even notice it.
So my next door neighbor, the house they left, house was vacant for 6 years. And no one took care of the lawn at all.
Wow.
And some of my neighbors, it just absolutely drove them bonkers. It's my next door. I didn't care.
You didn't care.
It didn't look that great. In fact, it made my house look pretty damn good, to tell you the truth.
You know what? I think I'd be one of those people. If it's like ultra crazy, out of control. But, like, I always feel bad. Like, I feel the onus is on me to keep my yard looking pretty decent.
Well,
you know? But if there's nobody there, what are you going to do?
Well, I mean, these were, the weeds were thigh high.
Were they?
Oh, yeah. Wow. It was 6 years overgrown.
So did they own the house? Did they still own the house?
I don't know what
they did. Did it go into foreclosure, you said?
The guy just literally, he was an idiot. And he left town and just kind of stopped paying for the house and moved out of state. And they tried to track him down. And I don't know what ended up happening.
Did you get to go into the house? It was all flooded.
It was a mess,
right?
Mold and all kinds of stuff. Fortunately, we had really great people who moved in and redid the whole house. Yeah. And they're great.
Do you have a homeowners association?
No.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, because maybe at least with that one you could... Guys, listen. Yeah, this is my next.
Some of my neighbors wanted to pitch in and have a lawnscaping company come and just maintain it.
They were that bothered.
Yeah. It didn't bother me that bad.
You know, some
people really, really.
You were right.
You just key the cars.
Sure.
Yeah. That's what a good homeowners association should be the ones who handle the keying and the tire slashing.
What an idiot, though, this guy is.
Not an idiot, an a-hole.
Yeah. I mean that too.
Just chill the f out. Like, you know, it's none of your freaking business.
Guess who's not coming to the block party?
Some people don't see that as driving properties down. in and around the year. Some people literally think that that's the case, that it drives their property value down.
You know what drives the property down? Having someone in the neighborhood who slashes tires.
Yes! Yeah. Like you.
Yes. More so.
A random vandal.
That's what's driving property values down.
Yeah, when you look to buy a home, it does show the crime in the area and how much there is. It doesn't show how many people's lawn is overgrown. But there is surveillance video of this guy, so if you recognize him, police are asking that you contact them. A Bucks County mother will not spend time behind bars for allegedly killing her infant son by breastfeeding him with drugs in her system.
It's a horrible
story. Awful. A judge sentenced 31-year-old Samantha Jones to 3 years of probation and 100 hours of community service after she agreed to the plea deal. The baby died from a combination of methadone, methamphetamine, and amphetamine back in 2018. Jones allegedly told police that she had been primarily breastfeeding the baby, but switched to formula 3 days before the child's death because he wasn't getting enough milk. Around 3 a.m. on April 2nd, 2018, the baby began crying, and Jones allegedly told police she tried to breastfeed the child because she was too tired to go downstairs to get the bottle of formula. Her husband told police that the baby was crying again at 6 a.m., and Jones asked him to prepare a bottle of formula. After he left for work, she fed the baby and fell back to sleep. She woke up at 7:30 to find the child who was in obvious distress. The child was rushed to the hospital but was pronounced dead about an hour later. So basically, the baby went into withdrawal from the drugs in the mom's system and died. And this woman is not going to jail. She only got 100 hours of community service and probation. A man who authorities say was involved in the GoFundMe scam in New Jersey was indicted Wednesday. 39-year-old Mark D'Amico was charged last year along with his then-girlfriend, 29-year-old Caitlin McClure, and 36-year-old Johnny Bobbitt. Prosecutors say Bobbitt and McClure and D'Amico made up a story in 2017, even faked photos of themselves standing on the street where the supposed exchange took place. The trio gained widespread recognition, and more than 14,000 donors contributed to the GoFundMe account.
You know, Preston, I was thinking about this, and we had sort of casted a movie with us and actors playing us. When they make this made-for-TV movie, here's an opportunity to employ those actors.
Right. They were part of it.
Because they were on the show, they came into the studio, and then they were out at the Camp Out for Hunger.
That's right.
The whole collective, when the scam is in full-blown vigor.
We could be in the movie.
Absolutely.
About this, and clearly we talked about it on the air leading up to that, so I would say, you know, being members of the media, that we'd want to be represented in a movie.
Yeah. Take that, Yuki Washington.
Yeah, right?
he ends up in every goddamn movie.
Yeah, you're right.
We should definitely be in their movie.
Okay.
Kate pleaded guilty, they had said that he had not been charged yet on some of the accounts, but here it is.
Her whole deal was predicated on testifying against him.
Okay. So Bobbitt pleaded guilty in March to conspiracy to commit theft by deception. McClure pleaded guilty in April to theft by deception in exchange for a 4-year term in state prison, and D'Amico was indicted on Tuesday on a slew of charges, including financial facilitation of criminal activity and theft by deception.
We're looking at him. I know who would play him in the movie. The name is escaping me.
Timothy Olyphant?
Nope. Irish actor.
Colin Farrell.
Yes.
There's a little bit of him in his face, yeah.
He could bring the douchey that he brought in Horrible Bosses.
and Kate is kind of she's a cute girl, and I think that maybe Blake Lively. They always go for somebody who's a little bit hotter.
Just to drive box office.
Yeah, exactly. I think Blake Lively would be her.
Nobody
Johnny
wants
Bobbitt,
to see
I'm not sure.
Anne Hathaway for Johnny Bobbitt?
Oh, yeah,
Johnny? No. Nice. I would sing for Kate McClure.
Oh,
that'd be good. Pull that picture back up because I had it.
All right, so I know. Well, who's the guy who played the trainer? I'm forgetting. He's a great actor. The horse trainer in Seabiscuit.
You know Chris Cooper.
Stick a beard on him.
He's a little old.
But well, Anne Hathaway was up for it.
No, seriously, if we're going that way.
At least it's a little closer than Anne Hathaway.
I see Ed Norton, but is Ed Norton too old?
Okay, I see that. A little bit of that.
Actually, Charlie Day would be good for him as well.
You're right.
Yeah.
Charlie just playing a straight role, a serious role, that could work.
And then us, of course.
You know, whenever,
you know,
whenever it gets made, I hope it does, because it's one of every Dateline story is something like this,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And this is as good as any of those.
Yep.
We need, like, well, I guess after all of the court cases are finished, then maybe we'll start to see those Dateline and all that, because I need to know what went on behind the scenes.
Well, and that they won't do it until there is a conclusion.
Right, of course.
And it's my understanding that GoFundMe is taking care of everyone who had donated. Yep. So it's,
GoFundMe's supposed to be.
GoFundMe said that they, that they've refunded everybody. So, all right, in sports this morning. Jared Eichhoff allowed only three hits in eight innings. Cesar Hernandez hit a home run and drove in three runs, and the Phillies shut out the Cardinals 5-0 yesterday afternoon in St. Louis. Woo! The National League East leading Phils took two of three from the Cardinals and won for the fifth time in their last seven games. Eichhoff, who missed most of the 2018 season with an injury, has not allowed a home run this season. Sir Anthony Dominguez worked the ninth to complete the three-hitter, and Odubel Herrera sparked a four-run fifth inning for the Phils with an RBI double. They're off today before opening up an interleague series in Kansas City against the Royals tomorrow night. In last night's NBA playoff action, the Bucks beat the Boston Celtics in Game 5 in Milwaukee. Giannis Antetokounmpo
had
20 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists, and the Bucks routed the Celtics 116-91 to eliminate Boston and advance to the Eastern Conference Final. In the Western Conference, the Golden State Warriors beat the Rockets in Game 5 in Oakland. Klay Thompson scored 27 points, and Golden State won 104-99 for a 3-2 lead in that series. The Sixers will look to turn things around and avoid elimination in their series against the Toronto Raptors when the two teams face off against each other tonight in Game 6 in South Philly. After two straight convincing wins in Games 2 and 3, the Sixers had back-to-back bad losses in Games 4 and 5 and trailed the series 3-2. Tip-off tonight is set for 8 o'clock. And in the NHL, the San Jose Sharks beat the Colorado Avalanche 3-2 in last night's Game 7 in San Jose. The Sharks now advance to play the St. Louis Blues in the Western Conference Finals, which begin this weekend. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks, Raspy. It is
I said I feel better, but my voice sounds worse.
That's all right. It's getting there. We are happy to be with you on this Thursday morning. We got a number of things taking place. Just want to remind you, a trip to Hollywood. Love it when we have those giveaway. That's for Word of the Week prize. We'll give that away tomorrow. You'll need today's letter at the end of the program. Speaking of movies and giveaways, another cool thing that we're doing today only. So with Mother's Day coming up, we're doing something kind of fun because in conjunction with that, another powerful female figure in the world of cinema, like your mom, Captain Marvel, will be released. And they have the date announcement today. And in honor of all the marvelous moms out there, here's how to win a digital download of Captain Marvel for you and a Halcyon Floats package for the mom in your life. And Halcyon Floats, if you do not know, it's these isolation tanks where you float in this saline solution. It's dark, it's warm, it is very serene, and it's just you get away from everything in life for a little while and just kind of zone out. It's wonderful.
I just did it a few months ago, Preston, at the location in Roxborough. Yes. It's pretty wild.
I've got to go to the Roxborough location.
Yeah. It's very cool.
I've not been there yet.
It's cool. I was hesitant to do it, and when I did it, I liked it.
So you get the digital download, and you get the Halcyon Floats package for your mom. Here's what you need to do, because we're doing this contest. It's today only during the show. Post a photo on Instagram during our show today of the marvelous mom that inspires you. And there's three hashtags you have to use, and you'll all automatically be qualified. And we're going to pick five winners today. So here are the three hashtags. It's important. Marvelous Mom, Captain Marvel, and WMMR Contest. You got to have that one in there, okay? WMMR Contest. But all three of those, Marvelous Mom, Captain Marvel, WMMR Contest. And if you need that information, you can call us. I'm sure Marissa's got it posted. Hang on. She's going to give us that info now.
Already on our Instagram and our Twitter pages, so you can just copy and paste it and post a pretty photo of you and your mom.
Okay, so after 10 a.m. today, we're going to pick the five winners. And Captain Marvel is available for digital download starting on May 28th and on a multi-screen edition on June 11th. So just get on there. It'll take you only a second. Just post. I'm sure you got a picture of mom in your phone somewhere. Post that. You can be with her, however you want to do it. But put those three hashtags, and we might draw and get you a cool prize today.
It's a fun little thing.
Yeah, most definitely. All right, Joe Matarese is stopping by today, our friend, Philly local. He is going to be performing a Punchline tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. So Joe stops by today, and I'm sure we'll get into all kinds of stuff. I got a lot of things to give away, so we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. I have the entertainment report on the way next. I'm sure you've heard by now, but we'll reiterate all the details of the new royal baby name and all that stuff. So we'll be back in a moment.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, stupid question. We are going to give away a pair of tickets to the 2019 Brewfest, and that is at Mount Hope, and it will be this Saturday. The question I have for you this morning, the Space Needle in Seattle was featured in the opening graphics of an NBC sitcom that ran from 1993 to 2004. You should know this. Name the show, 215-263-WMMR. So the Space Needle in Seattle was featured in the opening graphics of an NBC sitcom that ran from 1993 to 2004. Call now. Let's see if you know the answer. Got a bunch of good birthdays today. It is Thursday, May 9th, and what is happening outside our room?
There's a big tarp. The guys were doing the welding yesterday, or setting up all sorts of stuff. It's it is fascinating and distracting.
But, yeah, they're doing work on our building, and all of a sudden I see this gigantic thing across our windows, so they're covering up our windows. Okay, got it. Oh, that sucks.
I got a wave earlier this morning.
Oh, the guy was welding yesterday. Gave me a thumbs up yesterday.
It's kind of cool, right? Yeah, it's like a celebrity outside our window.
Absolutely.
All right, anyhow, moving on. Some birthdays today on the 9th of May include David Gahan, the lead singer of Depeche Mode, and he is celebrating his 57th birthday today.
I've seen Depeche Mode 3 or 4 times in concert.
No kid.
Yeah. Great. Always great.
Yeah, I saw him one time, and I was very impressed. Yeah. And I only went because my girlfriend liked him at the time, and I was like, okay, I'll go with you. And I was late to the party. I was a denier of Depeche Mode for a long time because they were more synth and electronic oriented, and I was more, you know, rock, a little more roots rock.
Yeah, yeah. They were what was pressing when I was first sort of made the leap into what they called progressive alternative music.
Yeah.
Depeche Mode was one of the big bands.
That's a good vehicle to get you there. David Gahan is 57 today. John Corbett, the actor from Northern Exposure, played DJ Chris in the morning.
I like him a lot.
I did too.
He was Sex and the City too, right?
Yep. And My Big Fat Greek Wedding. He's great in that movie.
Oh yeah. Yep. Okay. Never knows.
Yep. He and wait a minute. Hold on a second. Casey and I, instead of saying Valar Morghulis from Game of Thrones, right, the response, it's Nir Vardalos.
Juliana Margulies.
Juliana Margulies.
Yes.
So that's our greeting to each other.
Sayon Kankan.
Yeah. John Corbett's 58 today. The great Rosario Dawson has her birthday.
Now, apparently dating Cory Booker.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah, nice. Apparently. They're an item.
They're together.
Nice. She's the big 4-0 today. She was good as Mimi in Rent. That's why we're playing this.
Sin City.
Sin City is
dear
great.
Dear mother of God, has there ever been a better piece of wardrobe worn in a movie?
She was very, very sexy in that. Josie and the Pussycat. She was in the Daredevil show in Luke Cage.
She's also in the new Kevin Smith, the reboot of Jay and Silent Bob.
Okay. No kid.
Yeah.
All right. She's 40 today. Happy birthday. John Ashcroft, former U.S. Attorney General.
Hot.
He is 77 today and still as hot as ever. Like Candace Bergen, who is 73, and she celebrates her birthday.
They brought back Murphy Brown. Didn't do so well in the ratings.
That was too bad. Yeah. Miss Congeniality, Sweet Home Alabama, Boston Legal, a lot of stuff over the
years. She's in one of my favorite movies. I don't know if you remember, Preston, the movie The Wind and the Lion.
No, I never saw it.
With Sean Connery, of course, playing what you would assume he would play, the Raizuli, an Arab. It's a great movie, and it's about an actual historical event that took place.
She's 73. Audrina Partridge.
Yes.
Who is, I guess, a reality show
star. The Hills and MTV, all that stuff.
I think it's Partridge. Didn't...
Is it? Oh, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
It's not Partridge. It's P-A-T-R-I-D-G-E.
I make the same mistake every time, and I think I said it. The only reason I said it on air one time, and somebody's like, no, it's Partridge. It's
okay.
Partridge.
So, Nick, is it a Partridge in a pear tree?
It is, yes. Named after her family.
Okay. Oh, hey, and I see a name on the list here, Nick, that I skipped over and did not notice. He's been here in our studio. He's an odd and interesting and fun guy. Andrew W.K.
Yes.
Celebrates his birthday today.
He was a really good guest.
Yeah.
He's a unique individual. He's got this delivery where he talks like this, and he's very determined. He has very quick answers.
It's Partridge.
His fans love him. He doesn't have a huge, gigantic audience, but the audience he has is very, very loyal.
Our own Sarah was mildly swooning.
Well, he married them. He was the officiant at her wedding.
Yeah, yeah. Sarah Parker. Yeah, that is correct. He was the man who said, and I now pronounce you man and wife.
Go figure.
So happy birthday to Andrew W.K., who is 40 today, I think.
Yes, sir.
40 years old. And then I saved a biggie for last because it is a milestone birthday today for Billy Joel, who is 70 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, celebrates his birthday. And he will have a show, as he did for his 65th birthday, at Madison Square Garden, where he continues his residency over the years. It's unbelievable that that guy, as many times, and has had no new music for 25 years.
No new music for 25 years.
But
well.
Still will sell out Madison Square Garden. That is how strong his catalog is.
Exactly. He has a catalog that, and they're different. You may not like a certain period in his catalog, but you're going to like something else that he did.
Oh, yeah.
I was on board with Billy Joel. It was almost, if you lived on Long Island, you had to. It was, I think, the law. Yeah. And because he had many bands leading up to him as just Billy Joel. But Jesus, how many songs he had.
I read a review because he's at the ballpark Memorial Day weekend, and it was encouraging people to go because it is the greatest karaoke party you will ever go to.
There you go. It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I think the last show I saw was, I think, maybe, what was I with you, Marissa?
And you were with me.
Oh, with you. And we didn't love it, right?
No, I did. You didn't.
I didn't, right? Okay, yeah.
Was it Elton John?
It wasn't the show with Elton John. And last time I saw Billy Joel and Elton John, I thought Elton John was a little tired.
Yeah.
And Billy Joel kind of carried the show. But then when I... Yeah. Like, he didn't really move. He just stayed at the piano. And Billy Joel worked the stage and was all over the place. But then this last one, I was a little bit... It wasn't bad.
Well,
I think
he
was
a 67-year-old man.
Performing.
Yeah. And, so he doesn't have the same energy as, like, let's say Mick Jagger. But
right.
I got what I needed out of it. So.
Yeah, I went again a summer or two later and loved it. Had a great time. So maybe it was the company you were with.
No, I think it was great. Megan's going to be mad at you.
That was the one, Kathy, where he was asking the audience, okay, do you want to hear Piano Man or do you want to hear Scenes from an Italian Restaurant? And then the crowd would yell, and he actually just picked the one he wanted to play.
Freebird!
He'd pretend like he heard somebody. Years ago, I don't even remember. I think I was in college, probably. A friend of mine that I worked with, her uncle, I think it was like one of his like sound managers, and they did the swap with the tickets, and they put us right in the front row, so we watched him right in the front row.
I would love that.
He told us ahead of time, he goes, watch the cups. He said, in the red cup is vodka, in the blue cup is water, and he never touched, like, I forget the colors, but he never touched the water cup.
Okay.
We were like, wow.
Vodka all the way.
Yep.
Wow. My first agent in comedy was a drummer in his original band, I think it was called The Hassles.
No kid.
Yeah.
Wow. This might be a conversation for another time to open up, but we were just playing Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, and that was one of those songs when I was growing up that when it came on the radio... It didn't matter if I had to be somewhere, if I had something to do, whatever it was on hold because I would stop. It was a longer song and it was an event when it would come on the radio
because
it wouldn't play the super long songs all the time.
No.
And I'm
is that your favorite?
I'd take the long way home or drive around the block a few times. It's probably my favorite Billy Joel song.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right, one more Billy Joel story from me. So that song also, Preston, for my cousin and I, whenever it came on, no matter where we were, just busted out dancing.
Okay.
Like, full on, we would be at the mall, we'd be in my room with hairbrushes, whatever it was.
I'm going to write this down. Maybe we'll talk about that later on. So happy 70th birthday, Billy Joel, and I'm sure Pierre's going to do a block or two because of that. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question this morning. Where the hell is it?
Okay, where is it?
I got it right here. Space Needle's featured in the opening graphics of an NBC sitcom that ran from 93 to 2004. Name that show. 215-263-WMMR is the number. And I'm going to go to, let's go to Taylor. Hi, Taylor. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Taylor, so what TV show are we talking about?
That would be Frasier.
Of course.
Which they're bringing back.
Hang on a second, Taylor. We are going to give you a pair of tickets for the 2019 Brewfest at Mount Hope this Saturday, May 11th, presented by PA Renaissance Fair, a celebration of all things beer at Mount Hope Estate and Winery in Mannheim. PA must be at least 21 years of age to enter. Visit parenfair.com/brewfest for tickets and info. By the way, has anybody ever had tossed salad and scrambled eggs together? I don't think.
No, I've had my salad tossed while I was eating scrambled eggs.
And you're welcome.
Yeah.
And, yeah, thank you.
Did I say that out loud? I never actually questioned that theme song and tossed salad and scrambled eggs. Is that a thing?
I have a question for you. Have you ever been in the Space Needle?
I have not.
Yes, it's very cool.
Oh, you so
yes,
you have.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
That's where I was getting my salad tossed. Thank you, Casey. We took a trip together.
They serve eggs up there.
Hey, these eggs are great, by the way.
Yeah.
When you're done eating back there.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry have revealed the baby's name. Baby Sussex's name is, and I'm sure you've heard about
yes.
today, Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor. They shared this on Instagram. Yeah, it's all like the Mountbatten is a family name from Philip's side. If you ever watched The Crown,
yes,
they really struggled with what they were going to name him after he married Elizabeth, and Mountbatten was one of them. But the family fought him on it.
And every one of these names has a particular importance in this series of names, and they're stressing that it's Archie, it's not Archibald.
Oh, really?
No kidding.
Yes.
Ah,
I didn't
okay.
know. See, I thought it was going to be, because that just seems more
yes
regal.
Regal,
yes, right?
Yes. Yes. My Archie. Friend named her baby that, but they do call him Archie.
They're okay. Big Riverdale fans.
Yeah. Are you, did they do it with the town crier? Did they do the oye?
No, they did it on Instagram.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oye, oye.
Yeah, it's a video.
It's a video.
Of the of the town crier. That knows.
Hey, guys.
No, you know what they did?
Oye, oye.
They used the town tweeter.
Yeah.
It was that was it. You guys.
This is my Twitter account.
the crown.
Hey, guys. Oye, oye.
Yeah. So, Archie Harrison, Mountbatten Windsor, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex were pleased to announce that they have named their firstborn child. This is the official announcement. Archie Harrison, Mountbatten Windsor. They added, this afternoon, the Royal Highnesses introduced Her Majesty the Queen to her eighth great-grandchild at Windsor Castle. The Duke of Edinburgh and the Duchess's mother were also present for this special occasion.
The Queen standing there.
Oh, no! Keep it sound, for Christ's sake. It's right in my ear.
After Archie made his big debut on Monday, a happy Harry admitted that the name thing was the tough part. And now that he was here, he said the baby is a little bit overdue. So we've had a little bit of time to think about it, and that's the next bit.
It is royal family law that they have to run each name through the name game to see how it sounds in its various
Archie,
iterations.
Archie, Barchie, Bo, Barchie, Banana, Fana, Fo, Farchie,
Mimi, Mo, Marchie, Archie.
There you go.
All right.
Harrison, Barrison, Bo, Barrison. Then you have to go through Mountbatten, Mountbatten, Bo. How the hell do you do that one?
Slowly.
Three syllables. Before the name was announced, odds makers were saying that Alexander was the top choice. That's in the ballpark.
What was Archie at, 100 to 1?
I don't even know.
I think it was at 100 to 1.
Oh, that it was actually...
it was in the running.
Wow.
There were rumors that Archie was going to be a selection because they check all the family history and they see all the ties and what name hasn't been used in a while.
You didn't have that in your live reads case for the gambling site?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Alexander was a top choice. Arthur was second. Other options included Philip or Spencer.
Yet Pud was never even considered.
Not once. It was a long shot, Steve. Meghan and Harry also stepped outside of their home on Wednesday to show Archie's face, but they waited to share his name on social media. Meghan described being a mother to Archie, saying, "It's magic. It's pretty amazing. I have the two best guys in the world, so I'm really happy." She said he has the sweetest temperament. He's really calm. Meghan prompted Harry to joke beside her, saying, "I wonder who he gets that from."
So, like with Kate Middleton, when they had their baby just days ago,
mm-hmm.
and they present, I mean, I know they have a staff that gets them ready for these appearances.
Sure.
But dear God, do they look good for just giving birth?
Of course. Sure. Yeah. Of course. You know, I think,
she looked like she had it a little more rough than Kate.
Did she?
I think so.
You know what? Here's the deal. I don't care about this at all, so yeah. I didn't really see any pictures of after the birth. I did see pictures of like
of the afterbirth.
No, of like Amy Schumer who looked.
It looks like sausage.
But there are people.
Wait, Amy Schumer, what? Did she look bad?
Well, I don't want to say that because she had just.
She looked like she had given birth.
She had just given birth. And yeah. like that was like a more real photo.
She
and,
looked puffy and wiped out.
Like yes. commoners look.
Like yeah. a mother should yeah. look right after giving birth.
After birth, yeah. right. Yeah. I agree. Yes. But I sort of thought that's how she looked.
Yeah. But I don't know. Kate was the one that had all that hypermesis and all that, like Amy Schumer.
But her, after giving birth to all three, when she walked outside, she looked like it was just another day.
Okay. She looked fresher than Meghan looked, but Meghan Markle yeah. looked pretty damn good.
She's probably happy just to have that crap over with.
Maybe. Yeah,
yeah. So rip sad. It out!
Yeah, so, anyhow, new baby. Everybody's happy. The kid's name is Archie, so there you go. Johnny Depp's legal team, listen to this, is planning to file evidence that shows discrepancies in the emergency call placed at the LAPD on behalf of his then-wife on May 21st, 2016, according to The Blast.
Oh, boy.
The call infamously accused Depp of abusing Amber Heard. Her friend allegedly placed the call. Heard previously testified that she was on the phone with, it says, Io Tillett Wright. I have no idea who that is.
Io Tillett Wright?
Yeah, Io is the first name.
Oh, okay.
Went what?
I thought the first name was Io Tillett.
No, Io Tillett Wright. When Depp attacked her and Wright heard the abuse taking place, and in their own testimony, Wright reportedly said, I then heard Amber crying in fear and begging Johnny to stop his attack. Thereafter, I heard Amber scream out, call 911 before the call got disconnected. I called 911 to save Amber's life. Now, Depp's legal team claims they obtained logs from that night that show that Wright waited an hour and a half to call police. They also obtained video surveillance that reportedly shows him leaving his apartment in L.A. at 8:30 p.m. The call was placed at 10 p.m. So there might be some serious discrepancies there.
Well, that would certainly that would bolster Depp's case. But if the guy receiving the call at the 911 call center feared for her life, he would have reacted sooner than an hour and a half.
You would think so, right?
But yeah. Is that even true? Have they, you know?
I don't know. So that's what they're trying to figure out. So his lawyers claim that in the intervening time, Heard and Wright were working up some fake stories. Police did respond to the call and reportedly did not find any signs of abuse. So we shall see as this develops.
It just keeps getting messier.
Lindsay Lohan was not a fan of Zendaya's Cinderella look at this year's Met Gala, and she decided to share her thoughts on social media, somehow managing to drag Claire Danes into her takedown in the process.
All right.
So Lindsay wrote, Claire Danes did that with Zac Posen already, referring to the dress she was wearing. So I guess this is, I don't know when she's talking about Claire Danes wearing this similar outfit, but she shared this about Zendaya's look. In a separate comment, she snipped, Claire Danes, you wore this dress so beautifully, I don't know why someone thinks that they can be more chic.
Why is she interjecting herself into this?
I don't know.
Lay off Zendaya, she's a Spider-Man character.
Most commenters did not agree with Lindsay's assessment, so they kind of went after her. By the way, Lindsay has not attended the Met Gala since 2007.
Well, obviously because she's a bitch.
She's not invited anymore.
Claire Danes, who wore it better?
Mm-hmm. It's been 2.5 years since a leaked tape nearly derailed his career, but now Billy Bush is back on television with a new hosting gig and opening up about how he's changed. He tells people we all have to be able to evolve as we grow. The guy that left the scene in 2016 was already a changed person since 2005, because that's when the video that was taken that had him talking to Donald Trump. But I had the opportunity to grow up a little bit, he said. Facing adversity in some way is good, and I feel I'll be better at my job than I ever was. This is my next step. So this fall, the veteran TV personality will host Extra Extra, a new iteration of the current syndicated entertainment show, featuring a modernized set and in-depth look at topics including pop culture, sports, and politics. The current version of Extra is hosted by Mario Lopez that will continue its run through the season.
So you remember he had made the jump from that. He was on the Today Show when he got canned.
Yep.
And the word was is that they weren't thrilled at the Today Show, some of the other players, that he was now a permanent correspondent for the Today Show.
They didn't like him?
They didn't like him.
Okay.
Not that they weren't. Maybe they didn't like him. They didn't like that he had come from tabloid shows and was now a host on their show.
Right,
right. Which they regard a little higher than your average tabloid
show. After being let go, he said, I fell completely apart. I've been through resentment and anger and being inconsolable. But then I realized I had an opportunity to put one foot in front of the other and to get going. And subsequently, Bush used the forced hiatus as a chance to self-reflect.
He's an adorable little fella, isn't he?
I you know what? Yeah, he is kind of.
Billy.
I was like him. I thought he did a good
job.
Yeah. Very straight ahead. And
he was collateral damage.
What needed to be done. Yeah. Extra premieres September 9th, and that is on Fox. Maybe you saw this. Tyra Banks making a sizzling return to modeling at age 45. She's on the cover of Sports Illustrated's swimsuit issue.
And wow. She looks phenomenal.
She does.
She looks phenomenal. And she's, I think they were making the point, Preston, that from the original picture to this picture, she's 25 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
You can't tell.
She's she was really slim in the original cover, but she just looks matured and phenomenal, you know? So
she was always one of my favorites.
More than 20 years after she became the first black woman to grace the annual cover, she is back and in a bikini. This is her third SI swimsuit cover, and she's wearing a tiny yellow Andy Bagas bikini.
I thought that was an Andy Bagas.
In Great Exuma, Bahamas. In another shot inside, she recreated one of her most famous looks in a red polka dot bikini. The swimsuit issue has multiple covers. Soccer star Alex Morgan and Model Search winner Camille Kostick landed on the other two covers this year. She appeared on Good Morning America Wednesday and joked about her return, saying, I'm like, damn, I'm 45, dog.
Did she really say that?
Did I do that well?
You did it
well.
Great, thank man.
You. I hate to say this, but I hope someone slapped her.
In an interview with the New York Times, Banks also revealed why she left modeling a decade ago. She said, when I was 32 years old, I retired from the business.
I was hungry.
She said, I didn't want to age out. I walked out with a 3-year contract on the table, but I wanted to say goodbye before that industry said goodbye to me.
Damn, dog.
Leave before they leave you. My mother used to tell me that, she said. So that's why.
Well, she's all that in a bag of chips.
People say that anymore?
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, dog. No, they don't.
No.
No?
Alec Baldwin has apparently gifted wife Hilaria with a hefty new sparkler. Paige.
Fireworks!
Yeah.
Here, honey.
I've got Roman candles in the car.
That's a big-ass sparkler. That'll burn for like 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I got them all. I got the spinning wheels with the firecrackers. I got the whistling Jupiters.
The paratroopers.
Paratroopers that come
parachute.
Out. You're going to love it. Roman candles. These ones actually come from Rome.
I used to actually like the paratrooper.
I did, too.
Do you remember that?
I did, too.
It was like a flare.
It seemed like a military flare. Yeah. That's where you liked it.
It would shoot up, and then it would burn, and it had a little parachute, and it would come down really slowly. It would stay up there for a while.
It's how you could see advancing enemy.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yep.
I did see fireworks on Instagram that were
sparkler.
The fireworks that were like meant for the daytime. So instead of like shooting fire, it would be like colored smoke. Have you guys seen these?
No, I have not. But let's get them.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Do you know what we can do? So there's an exposed staircase now out in front of the building. We can crawl up to the top and shoot it off that.
Yeah. So anyhow, they are saying that the ring is an 8-10 carat emerald cut diamond ring.
You light the fuse right here.
We're fading. It blows up on her hand. Worth anywhere between
Oh, Jesus. Well, you still have 9.
Yeah, I found your finger over here.
Obviously.
It's between $800,000 and $1.2 million, they're guessing.
She just went through this miscarriage, you know? So I think he's trying to pep her up.
So, it may not be in production yet, but Beverly Hills 90210 is already greasing up the PR machine. The first teaser shows the cast sitting down for the first table read back for the reboot. Tori Spelling, Shannon Doherty.
I'll see you in study hall. Oh, damn, I forgot my ruler and protractor. What'd you say? I said I forgot my protractor. What?
Maybe you left it at the peach pit.
At the peach pit?
Yeah. Jason Priestley.
I'll meet you there later on at 1:30 for dinner. Early bird special. They mashed the food for you. Oh, my
God. There was a great joke last night on school. They're watching 90210, and they sort of take a tip from it, and the teacher's there, and the one teacher goes, that's not a high school student. That person's clearly 35 years old.
Mm-hmm. Jenny Garth, Ian Ziering, Gabrielle Carteris, Brian Austin Green, they're all back, except for, obviously, Luke Perry.
What did you do during the summer vacation? What? I had a colonoscopy.
Oh, my God. The Fox reboot is set to go into production late May. Speaking of trailers, teaser trailers, yesterday watched the Watchmen teaser trailer. It's coming out on HBO.
I'm very intrigued. Yeah, I'm simultaneously, yeah. Tell me if you feel the same way. Intrigued, excited, and nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I hope they don't botch it.
Yeah, we'll see. If they don't, then, you know, then unfortunately we don't get a good series out of it. But, you know, the source material's so great. So we'll see how that ends up playing out. How about this one? Game of Thrones. Emilia Clarke is set to play the poet Elizabeth Barrett in Let Me Count the Ways, with Bjorn Runge directing the love story.
Bjorn Runge.
The film, which is set for the mid-19th century, is set in the mid-19th century.
We're going to release this last century.
Yeah. We'll follow the true story of her love affair with playwright Robert Browning.
So okay, that's how she became Elizabeth Barrett Browning.
That is her next, that's her next project.
And then the Browning Strikes Back.
The Browning Strikes Back. That was the follow-up?
Return of the Browning.
It's a lot darker.
Yeah. A TV series based on the recent college admissions scandal that swept up Felicity Huffman, Lori Loughlin, is in the works, Variety is reporting.
A dramatic depiction of, or a documentary?
Dramatic depiction of, from what I understand. So Annapurna Television is optioned the rights to the upcoming book Accepted by Melissa Korn and Jennifer Levitz. I'm assuming, Steve. I thought there were actors named in this, but there isn't. So it may be a documentary.
Look, either or, I'm on board. I want to see how this plays out.
The book will be published by Portfolio, a division of Penguin Random House, and in March, of course, 36 people were indicted by the FBI for that whole deal. So
there are two things related to this, Preston. One, I don't know if you saw the story, but Lori Loughlin's case might be helped by the fact that USC was openly auditioning for crew team. And It said on the poster that they put up online and around campus, no rowing experience necessary.
No way.
So that sounds like our friend Kristen Herman did the same thing with Temple. Had never sat foot in one of those boats, and the crew team needed members. They had scholarships available, so she got on board. So
that might help.
Yeah.
And then there's another thing. If we have the audio clip, it's worth playing. If you want to see someone get a quick dismissal from a TV show, so they fired her from this Hallmark show, and they take her character. Is it over? It's okay if it's not over. But it's just they kind of explain, well, she went away and she's never coming back. And they just quickly dismiss her.
All right. So it's from a couple of days ago, though?
Yeah,
I got it. Got it.
All right. Here we go. This is it.
It's been a week since Abigail got word that her mother had taken ill back east. True to her nature, Abigail wasted no time in rushing off to care for her. And I will miss her and Cody deeply. We all will.
All right, and that's it.
We'll never see her again, and that's probably pretty good because she's involved in the Varsity Blues scandal.
That's how they handled it.
Yeah.
She went away. She went out to get some cigarettes.
Nope. She died.
She was crushed by a boulder. Very sad. She shouldn't have played with that stick that was holding up the boulder that was attached to a string.
Oh, it was a trap.
Oh, it was a trap. Yeah.
They wouldn't figure that out for a while.
No, she didn't see it.
Yeah, yeah.
She wasn't good at seeing traps. Right. We were, and we avoided the boulder.
That was smart.
No funeral. We just moved on.
We told her not to tug at the stick, but anyway, she's gone.
Yeah. All right, we're ready for the clips. You ready?
Yay.
All right, let's do this. Detective Pikachu follows Tim Goodman, a young man whose childhood dreams of becoming a Pokemon trainer are revived when he teams up with Pikachu to search for his father. Here, Justice Smith talks about why this movie is important to both kids and adults.
Although your kids are going to love it if they...
Is that good, Pikachu?
To the beginning.
Pokemon.
Although your kids are going to love it if they love Pokemon, it's also for people my age who have the nostalgia factor, who grew up with Pokemon.
Right.
But it's for everyone.
What the f***?
Detective Pikachu is in theaters tomorrow.
I can't get a beat on this. Is it getting any good scores on...
Everything that I've seen... So Ryan Reynolds talked about it, when they asked him to submit some audio for it, he basically just took, like, Deadpool stuff.
Okay.
And then he was trying to work on a voice. So basically think of Pikachu as PG or even G-rated Deadpool.
Okay.
The same sort of snark, and that's what it appears to be. So it, I don't know.
It's at 70%. So it's not bad.
All right.
Not bad at all. All right, let's do the next clip. In Palms, a group of women living together in a retirement home decide that it's time to bring it again and form a cheerleading squad.
For some reason, I want to see this.
In this clip, Jackie Weaver discusses the underlying message of the film. Here it is.
It's relationships between all the women, how they're emboldened by their togetherness. It's a great female story.
Anyway!
This reminds me, Marissa, of that marching band that you saw when we were in Florida for spring training, and it was all older people that formed a band, and they marched through town. We were there for, I guess, what was going on? Why did they have that big parade?
So we were down there for spring training. I went over to Cigar City for...
Oh, St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day parade.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yep. Yes. Oh, my gosh. I can't remember the name of it. They were like the second time arounders or something.
Yeah. Oh, that's
and,
cool.
And so I was like they love parades down there. It's like Mardi Gras. And I'm watching these baton twirlers come up. And as they're getting closer, I was like, those women look a little bit older. And then I realized that they were all like probably over 40 or 50 and just retired and living down there and joined a group. And then I look and I was like, oh, now there's a band and there's like a couple of rows of trumpets and then there's like tubas and then there's clarinets. And there was like 1,000 people marching down the street. And
in a marching band?
In a marching band. And this group has like thousands of people from around Florida that join it.
That's cool.
And just go around to these parades and play.
I bet you they march really slow.
With walkers.
I'll post a video because I never did after that. It was great.
I think this is actually based on an actual...
I'm sure it is.
Troop of older women.
Yeah, because that's what it reminded me of this group down in Florida. So I think that's really cool. Palms is in theaters tomorrow, by the way. And there you go. That's what I got for your entertainment report this morning. So some things that are happening today. Joe Matarese is stopping by. And we also have this underlying contest that's going to go through the course of the morning. And a chance for you to win something for Mom, the Captain Marvel in your life. That super bigger than life female force that is taking care of you like Captain Marvel. We have a chance for you to give some love to Mom. So we have a digital download of Captain Marvel for you and a Halcyon Floats package for the mom in your life. It's a pretty cool deal. Here's what you got to do. Post a photo on Instagram during our show today of the marvelous mom that inspires you. And you just have to use 3 hashtags and you'll be in the running to win. And we're going to choose 5 winners. The hashtags are Marvelous Mom, Captain Marvel, and WMMR contest.
This is cool.
We have that on our Instagram page. If you want to go check that out right now, and as Marissa said, you can just cut and paste it onto your post. After 10 a.m., we'll pick 5 winners, and we'll set you up. And Captain Marvel is available for digital download starting on the 28th and on multi-screen edition on June 11th. So let's get you on that. Just do it real quick. Only take you a couple of minutes. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us this morning.
Here comes the MM Army.
Join Marissa Magnata Friday from 4 to 6 at Sprint, 50 Centerton Road in Mount Laurel. Enter to win $2,000 to put toward a week at the Jersey Shore. Tickets to the sold-out Vans Warped Tour and custom MMR and Sprint sunglasses. Try Sprint's LTE Advanced Network now, up to 2 times faster than before and the reliability you can count on. Hang with the MM Army and Bud Light Friday from 8 to 10 at Tobolo's at Big Heads Richboro, 1034 2nd Street Pike, for an MM Barbecue 2019 ticket read. Win tickets every 10 minutes and enjoy 275 Bud Light bottles and drafts.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
Hey, if you want to win a digital download of Captain Marvel and also a Halcyon Float package for your mother for Mother's Day, we have a contest that's running through the morning. It's very simple. All you have to do is on Instagram post a photo of Mom or you and mom. It could be just mom or whatever, but make sure mom's in there. Do it during our program today, and there's three hashtags you have to include. Hashtag Marvelous Mom, Captain Marvel, and WMMR Contest. And by 10 a.m., we will draw five winners, and we'll set you up.
It's funny because they come to us with this thing and say, would you guys like to eat? You don't do this? It's like, of course.
Yes.
Why not? Yeah, it's cool. The Halcyon Float is very cool. Really Absolutely. Enjoyed it.
Yep. By the way, the digital download will be available starting May 28th of Captain Marvel and Multiscreen Edition on June 11th. Kathy, you had a story earlier in news about someone who was caught on surveillance video in a neighborhood keying cars and slashing tires. Because they believe that they are unhappy with the way those people's lawns are kept in the neighborhood.
Well, that's what he's writing notes, and that's what he's saying. He's saying that he's the code enforcer and that they need to mow their lawns, they need to edge, and they need to keep their property clean.
So first you'll get the note, and then you get vandalism?
I think the note is left along with the vandal.
So he's not in the note saying, I'm the guy who keyed your car, correct? He's not laying claim to that.
I don't know.
He's putting the note up, but then he also, there's footage of him keying the cars and they believe it's the same guy, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, from what I understand. So,
look at this.
Yeah, no, I think he's pretty clear that it's him.
It says enforcement for, and then it's got the person's name, I guess. And then it says number one, cut grass. Number two, cut trees. Number three, cut edge.
What is that?
Sidewalks. Sidewalks. Four, keep clean yard. And then a star at the bottom says, you are dirty.
Dirty. You're a dirty lawn owner.
Okay. So keying the cars is the next step, I guess. And, I mean, you really got to, that's really just got to bother you to no end. It's something you just, I would imagine if you're that type of person, you just sit around and think about it all the time.
Listen, I've.
How dare you?
I've seen, you know.
Look at that.
Yeah, right. Yards. They, at a certain point, there's not a lot you can do. You certainly can't slash their tires and key. If it bothers you, you got to just deal with it.
Yep.
But I mean, especially if there's like a homeowner society organization or whatever, maybe they have some sway over that. But otherwise, and it, from what the story was, it wasn't like an outlandish situation. Wasn't the woman away on vacation or something?
Yeah, she was supposedly away on vacation, returned Monday, got the note, and her car was keyed. And she said this was the second time he had slashed her tires before. So maybe her lawn was a little overgrown because she had been away on vacation.
Did you see that text earlier this morning, Preston, of what these people who are this militant are called?
No.
Grassholes.
Grassholes!
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I thought that was appropriate.
Uh-huh. Now, I wonder if this guy, if they find out who he is, if he's Mr. Immaculate Stay Off
Probably.
My Lawn thing, who that's his pride and joy. You know?
Look at this. Look at that green. That's Kentucky grass.
Yeah. I mean, what would it take for you, and I'm not saying to slash somebody's tires or to key their car, but what would it take for you to actually say something to your neighbor about the way their yard is kept?
I did one time. Okay, so
what pushed you to that point?
The next door neighbor, the guy who ended up leaving town, and the house next to me sat vacant for 6 years, and the lawn became way overgrown. It was already overgrown when they lived there, and we were outside talking. It was he came over, and I don't know what we had no other neighbors. We were just in the driveway doing neighborhood stuff, and all of a sudden he started talking. And he had said something like, said something along the lines of the yard and so forth. And I go, and as I was just being helpful,
yeah.
I go, Dan, look, and I brought out a container of Roundup. I go, it takes 10 minutes. You do this like once every 2 weeks. And I go, and I wasn't saying, dude, you need to clean up your yard. I'm saying, you won't have to deal with that crap anymore.
Yeah.
It's literally
How did he
really
take it?
easy to do. And he's like, I know, I'm sorry, I gotta do it. And he never did it.
No. Well, listen, you made Which the effort.
It didn't drive me crazy, but I was trying to give this is how easy it is.
See, here's the issue, like if the lawn's overgrown or if it's crazy ticks and bugs and, and field mice and whatever the hell infests. You said it was at one point it was up to your thighs, right? It was like super deep.
That high.
I don't know. Who knows what's living in there? And if like your animals or whatever, get
Definitely
out.
Definitely snakes.
Yeah.
But you saying that to your neighbor had nothing to do with you saying, I hate the way your lawn looks. You're like, hey, man, this is helpful.
I can't imagine being prompted unless it was, I don't know how outlandish it would have to be for me to be going,
yeah.
You need to take care of that.
Right. Well, you remember my neighbor at my, the old place, Jackie Mason. I cut my lawn once a week.
And but, you know, we had had a whole bunch of kids in a short amount of time.
Right.
So, you know, we
was he a grasshole?
Well, no, but we didn't, like, weed our flower bed, you know. So, like, maybe the flower bed had some weeds in it or whatever. And so my wife had finally gotten out there, I don't even know, like mid-July or whatever. She was out there just weeding, and he came out of his house, and she heard him go, oh, it's about time.
Oh, my God.
It's like, dude, you a-hole.
I mean, but sometimes you have these busy buddies.
But
these,
this grasshole.
People that are so consumed with what you're doing. We've talked about this before.
But you're not consumed.
It's annoying.
But you're only consumed with their yard, and you're not taking into consideration anything else in their lives. You know what I mean? So
maybe they're away on vacation.
Yeah.
Maybe they like that jungle look.
Yeah. I'll blow up the house then.
Well, I mean, what, I'm going to have to kill the cars.
What's the next
one? I'm sorry, to tell you.
Jackie Mason.
I'm going to have to kidnap their children.
Casey had a neighbor whose speech pattern was like
very
Jackie
much like
Mason.
So he, is that the first time you're mowing the lawn?
let me go to, I'm going to go to Chuck. Hi, Chuck, you're on the air. Good morning.
Gadzooks,
man. What's up?
So I live in a home, I live in Mayfair in the Northeast, and the problem with this neighborhood is that we're getting all these rentals that are coming in. So you have these people who had never lived, maybe not even had this type of land before or whatnot. So my next-door neighbor, when they first moved in, they didn't mow their lawn until, like, middle of summer, so it was up to their waist. So I've had to talk to him because of that, and he also sings at 3 a.m., like at the top of his lungs.
He sings at 3 a.m.? Okay.
Yeah, and he has kids in the house, too, so I don't even know how they sleep.
Well, that's just deranged. That's just someone who's deranged.
Yeah, what's he singing, Chuck?
R&B, gospel, whatever.
And I then, got sunshine!
Pretty much.
Yeah. No, you don't. It's 3 a.m., douchebag. Sun's not up for 3 more hours.
Right. I had to talk to him the other day because I said, you know, that the 5 years you lived here, I've had a conversation with you 10 times, and every time was either you don't mow the lawn or you're singing too damn loud.
Well, Chuck, what's worse? And I'll throw it out to you guys. Somebody who lets their lawn sort of go to pot and it's sort of a mess, or the guy who's up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning mowing the lawn and doing the yard work?
The early morning lawn mowing thing doesn't bother me for some reason. So.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, really? What? Like, you have to get out there at 7? Like, could you give it till 9?
Yeah. let me go to, I have Jim. Hi, Jim. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I have a neighbor that has lived next to me for 10 years. Unfortunately, divorced and have moved on. But I've been dealing with foot and a half tall, high grass for many years.
Yep.
I've approached the taps and batted on numerous occasions because they do have ordinances to that effect. And the township basically just blows you off, and the neighbor is just, you know, just a scumbag. And quite frankly, I live in a neighborhood with very expensive homes and an extremely well-kept neighborhood, and I have to deal with a loser for a neighbor.
Yeah, listen. So with me, I start to get antsy we're resetting our entire property. So we're going to have everything, you know, redone because when we moved in, it wasn't quite right.
Yeah.
So, but still, there's just even small patches of grass. A lot of it's covered by hay and stuff like that right now. Is there, you know, going to reset everything? But even those small patches, I like to make sure are trimmed down. And I start to get, I feel like I'm, like the neighborhood expects me to do it. So I sort of do it and want to do that. Some people just don't care. And I think it's probably on the list of town priorities, going to tell someone to mow their lawn is probably way down on the list.
Yeah. Jim, so have you ever talked to the guy?
Yeah, I talked to him on numerous occasions. These are well-to-do people. These aren't, you know, these aren't dregs of society.
Right.
And when I approached the township about it, the excuse I got from the township was, and almost quote is, well, you know, some people like to live in the woods and have the wood.
And I figured that's what you'd get. That's just what some people like. Have you tried talking to this guy employing a Jackie Mason impression? That seems to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you can slash his tires.
Slash his tires. Oh,
thanks, man.
Yeah.
I will say, we had a tree in our that kind of hangs over the sidewalk, and I guess one of the branches got a little low, and we would kind of, you know, you kind of have to like duck down a little bit when you were walking by. But we, yes, it was a little bit like that.
but never really, like, I never really thought about it. I never thought, like, oh, we should cut that branch down. And then we got, like, a little note put in our mailbox.
An anonymous note?
Yeah. And
I've keyed your car.
Right. But kind of saying, like, hey, trim that tree or I'm going to call the township, like, threatening. So we got a little angry about it, and they cut it down.
Oh, you had,
they
what?
They cut the branch down.
So yeah. This is what I was going to ask you, the anonymous note.
Right.
Is that counterproductive? Because, I've had moments where I've thought about leaving a note for somebody because of one thing or another. One that comes to mind is this reckless driving person that I see driving all the time. I know where they live. I found out where they live because they live in my community, and they drive like a freaking maniac.
Every morning, right?
And I've thought about sending a note of some sort that says, hey, on behalf of everybody that shares the road with you, can you please take it easy? Because you're going to not only kill yourself, but maybe somebody else. But I'm thinking that's not going to work. You know what I mean?
I think you automatically get defensive. Like, really, in reality, we should have cut that branch down. We really didn't realize that it was a little too low. We should have just cut the branch down. But because we got the what was kind of threatening was, or we're going to call the township, we were like, well.
I think you're right. I think it's a reflexive thing, especially when you get an anonymous note to go, this son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really? I would almost say, Preston, you say, I live here. My cars are parked here for keying purposes.
Right.
No. But in that, because there are certain things, for example, so we've been in this house now, it was just 2 years this past April,
almost.
Right? But there are things that when we moved in, we knew we're responsible for the sidewalk that goes around the whole house.
Right.
So then there's broken, you know, there's breaks.
It's uneven.
We're replacing all that and all that stuff. And that the onus is on us. If someone were to come by and complain, they'd be right. Tree branches that stick over that block the pathway, they would be right if they complained.
Yeah.
But still, I think it's the way you approach people. But I think our natural inclination is go, F you, this is my house, this is my yard.
It's like sometimes when we get snow, but not a significant amount of snow, and it's on the sidewalk, and my wife said, we got to get out there and do the sidewalk. I'm like, really? Somebody can walk on that? Come on.
How long?
I get out and do it anyway.
How long do you have before, by your community or by where you live, what is the rule before you are compelled or supposed to have that sidewalk cleared?
I have not the slightest idea.
I don't have sidewalks in my neighborhood, thank God.
You don't have sidewalks?
No.
We have to make sure they're clear. I think it's in with like 6 hours after the snowfall ends.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Is that a city ordinance?
We're in Philadelphia proper, yeah.
So the city says you got to do
this? I think that's it. Okay. They're pretty austere about it.
I'm going to go to Juliana because she did the anonymous note thing. Hi, Juliana. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hello there.
Hey, what's up?
In our neighborhood, this is about Christmas decorations, and it's one thing to leave your lights up, but these people every year put up a wooden nativity scene.
Okay.
And it was going on to Easter, and Jesus was still in the front yard. And so I wrote them a little thank you note saying, you know, thank you so much for, you know, being in the holiday spirit, but Jesus is getting ready to rise again.
So did you write this anonymously, Juliana, you said?
I sure did, as a neighbor.
Okay. And was there any action taken after you sent this letter?
Jesus, he went back into the house after that.
Okay.
Within a week.
Okay. All right. So that worked out. And you did it in kind of a fun way, right?
I did. But the funny thing is, so this house, their son has a landscaping business. And I will also say that their yard always looks the worst in the neighborhood. Oh. Like, they just had the lawn full of the little dandelion blow.
Oh, well, you know, they always say that, like, the contractor's house is the last house to be fixed, you know, because they do it all day long. Yeah.
But by the way, the dandelion, some people that really does piss off because obviously, you know, when after those things flower,
spreads,
they seed and those things fly all over the place and they can end up in your yard right next to you. And, you know, you've weed treated your yard, but then again, it's just seeded and you might get a bunch of dandelions in your yard. So you didn't think about that?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
The look on your face.
So when it turns like all white and everything like that, those are the seeds?
Yeah, they fly out and spread. So
that's how it happens.
You learn stuff.
Mm-hmm. Nature's a miracle.
Let me go next to Kat talking about an anonymous note left. Do they work or not? Hi, Kat. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
Hey, what's up, Kat?
So when my daughter was little and still in one of those car seats, that rear-facing car seats, we were parked and had our car door open on the side where people come in, like where they drive. So yeah. I got hit, right? So I got hit by a car. So I started to park on the other side of the street, and I got a note on my car telling me to stop parking on their side of the street.
Well,
so
that's...
we ignored it.
Okay, well, but... hang on real quick. You live in just a regular...
Like row homes.
Row homes, okay.
Yeah,
all right, so, yeah, street parking for everybody, right?
Everybody, yeah. you can't, you can park wherever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's not assigned parking. It's this, you know, even though this person thought that there was, apparently.
Okay, and Kat, was it worded kind of tersely, or was it pleasant?
It was, stop parking on my side of the street.
Okay.
So I didn't listen, because I was trying to keep myself and my daughter safe, and I just didn't listen. So it had rained for, like, 4 or 5 days in a row. It was over springtime, and, like, so our lawn had grown kind of long. And the very first day that it stopped raining, we had had a note from the township telling us, you know, warning us that we need to cut our lawn. And I'm sure that it's the lady who I didn't listen to.
Right, so, right.
Yeah. So they don't work. Anonymous notes don't work, but you can always call the township on a person afterwards. So
okay. But you were doing it for a reason. Maybe if you had a chance to talk to the woman and say, listen, this is what happened and this is why I'm parked there.
How do you respond to an anonymous letter that's left to you? There's no way for interaction.
Well, yeah.
Unless you pepper the neighborhood with response notes.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think that it would have made a difference anyway, because it wasn't her parking spot. I mean, it's her side of the street.
That's when you become the loudest, most obnoxious neighbor you can possibly, because at some point you're going to get the right person.
How about you don't be a coward anymore, right?
Yeah.
And instead of doing an anonymous note, you go up and talk to the person, and then you find out, hey, you know, I park on this side of the street because I was hit by a car, okay? Yeah. I was actually struck by a moving vehicle, and I'm a little bit, like, leery of parking on that side of the street anymore.
I know, because I was the one driving the car that hit you. I don't like you. Can't you see that?
I want to find out what this is about. I got Mary on the line. I have to see why she called the animal control. Hi, Mary. You're on the air. Good morning.
What's up, bitches?
Yo, bitch. What's up?
My two neighbors behind me are grass holes because they have weeds and grass up high, and I had to call animal control because my yard's getting all tore up. In 1 week, 9 raccoons and 1 skunk.
9 raccoons and 1 skunk have crawled out of your neighbor's yard. By the way, you're not thinking a grass hole is somebody who meticulously takes care of their lawn all the time and is very anal about it. So these are just people that are negligent in their yard.
I had it backwards, sorry.
Okay, no problem.
Okay. So these animals were coming in, so you called animal control, and did anything come of that?
I called the animal control, and they just set another trap today, but one trap is not going to really do anything. They have to get these people to cut their grass.
And have they talked to them?
They've talked to them, but they still haven't cut it, and I think they just give them a fine of like $100.
Yeah, how far can you go? I'm sure it's different from within the city to out to the suburbs.
I don't think high grass is a raccoon.
Is it?
Thing.
I always think that if it's like waist high and everything, I think at a certain point word gets out in the feral community that there's a party going on.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, they're all congregating.
Okay. You can hear him partying all night listening to Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Thank you, Mary. Is that what raccoons?
Yes. Yeah.
Great time.
Yeah.
I mean, but that sort of sucks, you know.
Yeah.
But there's honestly, at a certain point, we talked about this. There's only so much you can do,
you know,
if there's animals crawling out of her grass, this neighbor's grass, but the town isn't going to immediately seize upon it with all the crap that's being dealt with.
Yeah, so I don't know, man.
Dude, don't key anybody. I think
and that's how this story got started. This guy is going. What do you know what neighborhood this is in, Kathy?
Hold on. I will find out for
you. This guy doesn't like the way certain neighbors are keeping their lawn. And it's been more than one person, I think, that he's done this to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, slashed tires, keyed cars, left notes, all that stuff.
And he identifies himself as a code enforcer, correct?
Yeah.
It's in West Hampton, New Jersey. It's in the Holly Hill section.
What's okay. that like? What's that area like?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Not the slightest idea.
I know we're moving on here, but I was just alerted to something yesterday. My mom was telling me about this. It was in the news. Said I didn't see that news because I was too busy paying attention to a 3-year-old kid walking around Fallcroft. So I missed this story that happened in Broomall, that there was such a problem in this apartment community with dog poop all over the place.
Okay.
You guys didn't hear about this?
No.
All right. That they're going to DNA swab everybody's dog
I didn't hear that story, but I have heard that being done in the past few years.
You had a story in San Francisco where they did that.
And they so you have to offer up your dog, right?
Yeah. And so they were interviewing people in this apartment complex. Yeah. So they DNA swab your dog. And then so when there's a pile left in the grass, they'll be able to identify who's. Dog poop that is.
DNA and semen samples.
Right? Yeah. But so they were interviewing people in the apartment complex, and, you know, one guy is like, yeah, I don't care. That's fine. Swab my dog. I clean up after him or whatever. And then one guy's like, I don't care. I have a cat. And then some dude was like super pissed off about it. It's like, oh, well, that's the guy.
We're actually not going to do it. This was just the process of elimination for someone to admit that they did it.
I just have cats. I don't care about this. Yeah. I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's the guy.
This is the guy. That when you walk by, you see the window shade separate just a little bit. Mm-hmm. There he is.
All right. Well, anyhow, probably better ways to go about it. But they're looking for this guy. They have video surveillance of him walking over and just nonchalantly taking his key and just scratching marks all over this person's car.
And slashing tires. Yeah. What a complete dick move.
And it's not the best video or best footage, but if you know the person, you're going to recognize him in the video.
Also, the handwriting, too.
Yeah, possibly.
And I hope you left a poop specimen, perhaps.
Thanks for the calls. We appreciate it. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. I got some bizarre file stories I think that you are going to enjoy. Joe Matarese is going to be here this morning. We got some contests and giveaways. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I'm going to give you a heads up because next week we're going to start doing Preston and Steve's Coolest Teacher of the Year. And we do it for high school students. The reason we choose high schools is because the student body themselves, you know, they can vote on them. I'd love to do, you know, middle schools and grade schools, but not everybody's got a phone and texting in and all that stuff.
So. It's also at that point, I think, as you're about to move off into life when you realize how important the teachers are to you.
Good point.
You know, and so it has a little more gravitas.
All right. So what we're doing this week in preparation for this next week is finding out which high schools should be in the pool of schools that we choose from. So we have a big hat or jar in this case that has a bunch of school names in them. We draw them randomly, and then we have that school vote on their coolest teacher. So we want to find out what schools should go into the voting process. All right. So if you would like to nominate your school to be in the running for this, I know it's a little confusing. Just go to PrestonandSteve.com. You'll see the link there. Click on it. Enter the name of your school and the form and you're done. So it's for current high school students, grades 9 to 12. So do that.
Awesome. Well, Marissa said just after yesterday, we were getting a nice, brisk response from people who are getting it, knowing what to do.
Yep.
I had mentioned Schooled earlier, which is the sequel to the Goldbergs. And in that series, Preston, every character is based on a real teacher. Mm-hmm. And they often talk to the teachers themselves at the end of the show. So it's a good affirmation of just how important these people are.
Absolutely. And we want to celebrate that. By the way, we filmed The Classroom a few days ago, which is a show on Fox. Richard Curtis is the host. Richard is the is a teacher at my son's high school, Souderton Area High School. And the studio audience was made up of Souderton High School students that day. And it's funny because, I don't know how I'm perceived at Souderton High School. My kids go to school. I'm there all the time.
Right. Are you just a dad?
I'm just a dad.
Or are you the celebrity?
Well, listen, dude, when we met those students and they were like big fans of the Preston and Steve show.
I was freaking out.
I've always wanted to meet you. I'm like, well, I'm here all the time at the school. Come over and say hi. You know, I was really surprised,
I think it's because I said I was a fan of BTS.
Maybe that was it.
But the truth of the matter was, it was cool to see that.
And then we saw the school bus on the way back to the radio station. We were in an MMR vehicle, and all the kids were rolling down the windows and hanging out and yelling and stuff. So it was a lot of fun. We had a really good time. That's going to air, I think, on the 15th?
Yes, next Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so we're going to talk about it in the morning with Mike and Alex, and then we'll be on at 6:30 that evening.
Yeah, so see what happens.
Yes. All right. It was fun.
We need to do the Bizarre Five.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and it is brought to you this morning by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? Like I said, Ticket Raid with Nick Friday, 6 to 8. Don't miss that. So, I love this story. A North Carolina woman has been arrested for allegedly trespassing at the CIA headquarters and asking to speak with Agent Penis.
Agent Penis?
Yes. Jennifer G. Hernandez, 58 years old, is accused of trying to sneak into the CIA headquarters in Virginia on four separate occasions last week alone. Hernandez was arrested following her final attempt to gain access to the facility on Friday.
Is that the agent's code name?
Might be.
Code name Penis?
An agent said that he spoke to Hernandez at the CIA's visitor control center after she said she was there to pick up her North Carolina identification card. Hernandez then requested to speak to Agent Penis. The agent said, wouldn't it be great if one of the guys there whipped out his dong and drew a little eyes on it.
Here he is.
Yeah.
What can I help you with, man?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't talk to Agent Penis. He's in deep.
The agent said that he reviewed records and realized Hernandez had several other encounters with officials at CIA headquarters in the days prior. According to court documents, CIA police had unintentionally kept Hernandez's ID card. They really did have it. From when she came to the facility a day earlier. So she was legitimately trying to pick up her ID card.
Was there any did they finally figure out if there was somebody that she actually was looking for that existed, or did Agent Penis?
I think she's...
Well, there are two different Agent Penises. You have a Dick, and then you also have a Rod as well.
Right, yeah. Okay, well, Pete, too. Don't forget about him. So officers returned Hernandez's ID card on Friday and asked her about she was planning to leave the CIA headquarters. Hernandez told them that she was taking a bus, so multiple officers accompanied her to the nearby bus stop and waited.
Sure, we'll help you.
When the bus arrived, she allegedly said to the officers, "Do you really think I'm going to leave?" And the officers warned her that she would be arrested if she didn't leave, but she allegedly refused to get on the bus. She was subsequently arrested for remaining on an agency property after being ordered to leave. The day before her arrest, listen, this goes on.
Okay.
She allegedly arrived at the CIA headquarters in an Uber. She told officers she needed to speak to her recruiter and that she knew to come to headquarters because, quote, phone was off.
Phone was off. So suddenly she's Tonto.
Yeah. Hernandez
phone off.
Was cited for trespassing before she left on a public bus. Now, on May 1st, she had arrived at the facility in the backseat of a Lyft and told officers via the video phone at the entrance that she was meeting with her recruiter. She was issued a written warning for trespassing once authorities realized she had no official business at the CIA. She had first come to the CIA headquarters, we're working in reverse order here, April 22nd on foot, and explained to an officer that she had applied for a job at the CIA and a recruiter had told her to come to the facility directly. The officer told her she was trespassing and she left on foot. She was eventually charged with criminal trespassing and remains at the Alexandria City Jail.
You know what, though? Maybe it'd be worthwhile to bring her into the CIA because she's a lunatic, but send her to some hotbed around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Send her.
Her and Agent Penis.
Agent Penis.
To go together.
He's going to be your contact.
Yeah. This is Vag.
In Morocco. Yeah.
A Mongolian couple died from the bubonic plague because they ate raw marmot meat.
Raw marmot meat?
Yes. Sparking a quarantine that trapped tourists for days. or Maremount. I don't know how you want to pronounce
I've never heard of this.
The couple died May 1st in a remote area of the country, which borders China and Russia.
What kind of animal is this?
Well, I know there's, in Colorado, they have yellow-bellied Maremounts.
And what are they?
They're kind of like groundhogs.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're right.
Six-day quarantine of 118 people who had come into contact with the couple included locals and a number of foreign tourists had been lifted as of Tuesday. But the couple had eaten the Maremount raw meat and kidney, which is believed to be good for health in the area.
I'm getting so hungry.
Mm-hmm. But they got the bubonic plague instead of, the nutrients.
Is that posted
want.
On the menu?
I don't know.
Warning.
So bubonic plague can be transmitted via infected fleas and animals like prairie dogs, squirrels, and rabbits.
Of course, that's why you don't eat your Maremount raw.
While modern antibiotics can now treat the disease and prevent its spread, infections to humans do still occur in parts of the western United States as well as in Africa and Asia.
That's honestly why I cook my bats.
You should.
Yeah.
You like medium
I
rare,
like
right?
them crispy, yeah.
A doorbell camera captured the moment a snake attacked a man in a video that will make your skin crawl.
This is chilling. Have you guys seen the footage?
No.
Yeah. Jarrell Haywood was visiting Rodney Copeland's home on Sunday in Oklahoma when the attack occurred. The snake was wrapped around a porch light, so it was up high.
Yeah.
And as he opens the screen door, the snake just pops into the corner of the camera and bites into Haywood's head before retreating. Haywood's first thought, he said, I got bit by a snake. Didn't know what kind it was. Have to get to the hospital. That's what he thought first.
He thinks that way to himself.
Copeland said that he watched in horror as his friend stumbled through the door shouting as he clutched his face. Copeland and his wife brought Haywood to the hospital where he was treated immediately. The snake was non-venomous. He's okay.
This is the new Ring doorbells come with cobras.
The snake was not as lucky. Copeland's wife started screaming along with Haywood. And
poor guy.
Their cries attracted the neighbor who brought over a hammer. He knocked the snake off the light.
Snake and then, bite. Give me my hammer.
And then he pummeled it to death.
Jesus.
And Copeland said that it was the first time that he found a snake in his home. He imagines the 5-foot-5-incher was taking refuge from recent heavy rains. I hopes to keep away any potential lurkers by spraying the yard with sulfuric acid. He said, I hear they don't like that.
So a snake that's going to bite you, like the way this thing bites you, do we assume there's a venom component to it? Would a non-venomous snake...
Sure.
Bite this way.
Yeah,
I think they said it was. Non-venomous.
Yeah, it's non-venomous.
Okay.
Yeah, but they just
a doorbell snake.
Just out of defense.
Yeah.
They can strike at you like a garter snake or something like that might bite at you. It's not going to kill you, but it's its defense.
I found a snake in my basement the other day.
Oh, did you?
Like a garden snake
inside?
Because we have a door that goes right out to the outside.
Yeah.
And the poor guy just couldn't make it across the carpet.
Yeah.
Very nice Berber carpet.
Surprised the cats didn't get it.
Oh, maybe the cats did. Yeah. I mean, I honestly pity any small creature that gets into the house. You've entered the wrong house.
You ever see what a boa bite can do to somebody?
No.
Because, a boa will kill their prey by constricting, obviously, hence the name. But their teeth are curled underneath, so they grasp them.
Wow. Yeah.
And people keep them as pets every now and then.
Yeah.
So occasionally they'll bite, and they're non-venomous. But they cause so much damage because of the way that the teeth are formed. They dig into the skin and hold the prey.
Also, the issue is a lot of times the bacteria that it will be on their teeth.
Yep, it can be can make you very sick. Yes. All right, and that's it. That's all I got time for. That is your bizarre file for now. We got a movie screening of John Wick Chapter 3. This is on Tuesday, and it will be at the UA King of Prussia at 7:30, and to be there by 7. I hear one Mr. Steve Morrison might be.
Oh, I'm going to be there.
In attendance.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take three callers at 215-263-WMMR. The movie opens nationwide on Friday, May 17th, but we will get you in the theater to see our advance screening of that. So call right now. We'll take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Our buddy Joe Matarese is going to be in because he's going to be at Punchline tonight, Friday, and Saturday. So we'll spend some time with him in a little bit. And don't forget, trip to Hollywood for the premiere of the new Godzilla movie. We're giving that away tomorrow, but you need today's letter at the end of the show. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Thrice. Shine now. Papa Roach.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
All right, so Chuck D'Amico, our assistant program director, just popped his head in here while you were doing the traffic. He said that Something, sure enough, with our delay, the delay or dump button, as we call it, is apparently it was activating on itself. And Chuck said the lights were lighting up because he has one the in an office. He has control of it if he needs it. And he said it was lighting up. So what happens is the signal that goes from here gets compressed and it then it. It's kind of hard to explain. And then the signal goes out to you to be received in your car radio or whatever receiver you're using. If you need to dump out, what it does is it cuts off that compressed part and goes directly to live. And usually unperceptive to your ears, it will slow the signal down just a little bit to recompress. And the only time you can really hear it is when there's music playing, because you'll hear the tone change as the music slows down.
So it hit by itself. Yeah, I can several times. Guess why that happened.
Why?
Bill was hitting the button so hard during the figging conversation that it only now caught up.
What the hell is this conversation, figging? Yes, I was okay with talking.
We didn't
even
hear
the hot Carl.
He didn't say anything about it yesterday, yep. So I guess he missed the figging segment, so whatever.
Thank God he did.
Hey, today is Billy Joel's 70th birthday. That's a big deal in anybody's life, but especially for a guy who has, you know, been a big part of a whole lot of people's lives with as much popular music as he has written and performed over the years. It's a big deal.
The topic, you know, we talked about this earlier. Right here, this song, I Stop.
Oh, do you?
This is the song. This is actually one of the first Billy Joel songs I heard. And I remember thinking, how do you play the piano that fast?
Yeah. And then when you see him do you're like, oh, two hands and really, 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 really fast. It's both of his index fingers on that particular part. But when we were talking about his birthday earlier, Casey was playing Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. And that's a, how long is that song? 6 minutes plus, probably?
Yeah, something probably like around there. I can find out.
It's a longer tune, and it made me think of...
Seven and a half,
okay. So it made me think of those pieces of music that sometimes, because of their length, they don't get played. They haven't over the years gotten played that often. And when you would hear them on the radio, it'd be like, oh, dude, they're playing it.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Hurry up.
Or you even call your friend. Dude, turn it on.
Yes.
They're playing it right now.
And then shut up.
And then shut up. I have a number of those songs in my life. And we can talk about that here. Of course, you can call in 215-263-WMMR. But one of the tops on my list... This is one of those. I would always, if I was on my way wherever it was, I would either stop or I would take a longer route and just drive and continue and listen to
right.
it, no matter what I was doing. But one that always was that way when it would come on the radio for me growing up was Sweet Judy Blue Eyes.
Oh, yeah.
From Crosby, Stills, Nash. And because that's an 8 minute long song or something like that. And it was just so anthemic and so sing-along that I would take extra time no matter where I was, what I was doing. I'm like, oh, my God, they're playing it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it still happens. I know, even though it wasn't as when songs like this were in their heyday, it, you know, you would have to wait to hear it. Yeah. Now everything's sort of on demand. But even still, so many people, like when you talk about the high school students who listen to MMR and love to hear like the double shots and all that stuff, there's still something about that communal feeling of hearing it with other people, you know?
But are the days of calling your friend and going, dude, put it on WMMR.
Yeah, yeah.
Are those are kind of over, aren't they?
I think so.
Unless it's a figging conversation.
Right. Yes.
I still don't know what it is. Somebody's got to fill me in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I still, but now it's different because now I'll take video of me singing it and then send it to that person.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Or if I hear it, like if I'm in a store or something. Yeah.
Just like I want to say.
And you have no idea how many videos I have singing that song.
That's great. This song in particular was part of my buddy Kevin Costello, who you've met at Clearwater a couple of different times. This was on a mixtape, so there was a summer where I listened to this song basically every single day. Mm. But the song that I would drive around to, and it was new to me, my senior year of high school, Hotel California.
Really? Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And then when I was entering my freshman year of college, I bought the Eagles' Greatest Hits Volume 2 because it wasn't on Volume 1, and I bought it Volume 2. And my roommate that year ended up ruining the song for me because he listened to it, that and Runaway Train by Soul Asylum, every single day.
To me, it always has to be, I think, a longer song. It has to be, and songs with changes in it.
Mm-hmm. Like Sweet Judy Blue Eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? And that's, That's always cool to me.
Yeah, Hotel California is 6.5 minutes long.
And by the way, it used to be the norm on radio. You know, it was. That's why they make such a big thing about Bohemian Rhapsody in the movie about the length of the song. It was just not a common thing to have a song that long played on regular airplane.
Yeah, if you're going to have a hit, you got to make it fit, so you got to cut it down to 3:05.
That's Billy Joel. Mm-hmm. What song was that?
The Entertainer?
Yeah. The Entertainer. One of the songs that was first to branch out like that was Hey Jude.
Yeah.
From the Beatles. That was over 7 minutes long and completely unheard of in the 1960s. And that can be one, too. All right, I'm going to take a ride. I'm going to listen to this whole song. You know what I mean?
I didn't realize it was 7 minutes long.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely got some meat to it.
The last four songs on Abbey Road with Golden Slumbers in there. I mean, that's stop and listen. You want to hear the whole thing out. If you don't, it feels incomplete. But like a special moment on the radio was American Pie by Don McLean. Like
You go.
That's a story that's being told. My dad introduced me to
radio friendly.
I know.
Short version that was like. Okay.
The three stations that I listened to growing up were WMMR, WYSP, and WMGK. And those three stations, including this one, would compete with one another. If I was with my family, if I was with my friends, it didn't matter. It was a special moment.
Yep. My younger years, obviously, it was spent listening to popular music. A lot of, like, 50s stuff. And then when I got into high school was when I was sort of introduced to what we now know as classic rock. And so that's why, you know, it was all new to me.
Yeah, you were hearing it for the first time.
I was hearing it for the first time. I had a great guy. He was my manager at the pool that I worked at. And he would quiz me on, you know, all right, who is this? What's the name of this song? And so I really got it. My brother introduced me to a lot of
stuff.
He
was like your Mr. Miyagi.
He was kind of like
classic rock.
I'm still like a piker compared to all of you guys. But there was another song, a long song, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. That was another one.
All of those. Anthemic. Yeah.
Yeah, when this, you heard that opening guitar riff.
This is what I'm doing for the next 8.5 minutes.
Exactly. Yep. And take a detour, whatever it may be. And
So Jim Steinman, right? Isn't that the guy's name?
Yeah.
Who wrote all these things. And I remember there were some people who were pretty dismissive of this stuff. And I always thought, what's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. It's fun, rock, anthemic. It spoke to me. Yeah.
And I got to say, you guys were the ones who told me it was within the last 2 years that the Phil Rizzuto call at the end
he's
of the song.
Sex.
Yeah. I thought it was just a baseball game. I had no idea.
No, that's him trying to get to the bases.
He's rounding sex. He's pulling out his penis.
Yeah. And right before he slides into home.
She says, stop right there.
And she denies him.
Yeah.
And then he swears he would love her for the rest of his life. And guess what? He got some that
night. He's putting on a condom.
And he hated it right after he finished his business.
He knew.
The regret.
Yeah.
And I'm praying for the end of time. Uh-huh. It's what happens after you know.
Yeah.
You're getting very medical
now.
Very
technical.
You're using all the graphic
terminology.
Yeah.
If it's somebody I really didn't want to be with, I regret it right after that moment.
Don't ever let a boy...
But I.
Hey, going back to American Pie real quick, did you guys know that some of it was written on Temple's campus?
Really?
Yeah. Somebody texted that in. And Don McLean started writing it in upstate New York in Saratoga Springs and then finished the song right here in Philadelphia, PA.
And to piggyback off of that, a story, how did I not know this? Yesterday, we were talking about Comfortably Numb.
Yep, another 6-minute song.
Was written at the Spectrum here in Philadelphia.
Get the F out.
Yeah, Nick.
Or he was inspired to write it.
Yeah, Nick, pull up the Wikipedia on that one.
Comfortably Numb was written at the Spectrum.
Yes.
I was reading it at the Preston, you introduced me a site years ago called songfacts.com, and I was reading the story about Comfortably Numb. People haven't interpreted it a lot in different ways over the years, but the way that he wrote it had nothing to do with self-pleasure or heroin. It had to do with an illness.
He was actually sick, and a doctor came in and gave him some shot, and it made him feel all wonky and stuff. And it's basically about that. I thought the whole, just a little pinprick, we'll have him be back here on your feet again.
Yeah.
I thought it was shooting him up with heroin to fix him up, you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, I always heard it in a different way, because I always carry the imagery of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, when he's sick in bed.
Yeah.
And as a kid. But I had no idea. How about that?
Yeah, pretty cool. All right, Steve, I'm going to plug in my phone because I don't think we have this in the system. And
do you know?
Somebody had texted this in. Yes. Wait. Oh, no, it's not supposed to be playing yet.
Sergeant Pepper.
Son of a bitch.
Is about the Riddle Ale House.
Oh, no! My God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, and that's gone, by the way.
It's not around anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a shame.
All right. Somebody had texted in with this one. When this would come on the radio, crank it up, Casey. This was an event.
It's
already playing. So it's going to take it a moment to get going. But this song is 11 minutes long.
And this is timely with the new movie coming up.
And this is a masterpiece. It's actually two songs. But
you can't play one without playing the other.
And no, exactly. And that's a whole other conversation, too.
Which pisses me off when they only play part of it.
I know.
And especially on CDs.
CDs when messed it up.
Knock it off!
I know. Cut it out! But this is Love Lies, Funeral for a Friend, which is this part of it.
Yeah.
Into Love Lies Bleeding from Elton John. And when this would come on the air, number one, I would turn my radio up as loud as it could possibly go.
Preston, I would lay down and I would put the full speakers on each side of my head pointed at me on our...
because and it's a wonder why...
Hold on, yeah, I know.
Turn this part up right now in your car. It sounds huge when you got it cranked up.
And it keeps getting better.
Yeah. Do you know this song at all, Case?
No.
Wow.
You've never heard this? Preston, I would stare at that album cover that's up on the screen here of him walking onto the Olivet Road to the mural.
Do you want me to get to the...
Let all 11 minutes play.
Let's just listen to it. No, I'll move it to where it really gets going. Hang on.
Yeah, this part.
This is where the...
When the guitar's kicking.
Love Lies Bleeding starts kicking in. But it's, Case, you would love it. I know the type of music you like.
Yeah, I'm surprised I don't know this.
This is Elton John's rock.
Yep.
This was the first record I got.
Was it really?
Yeah, when I got my first stereo. This and Aretha. No, this and Roberta Flack for some reason.
Roberta Flack?
My parents didn't exactly know what to get me.
Nice. Turn up. This is the hook right here. So, and then we'll move on to something else. So that was one of those songs that was an absolute radio event when it would come on. And there's a bunch of them, man. There's some Yes songs like Round, or not Roundabout, but All Good People, when that one would come on.
Yes.
I would stop what I was doing, and for, like you said, Casey, all right, next 8 minutes, I'm in. I'm just going to hang here for a while, and it was always cool to have that happen. I hate to be the old guy in the room, but do we have any of these anymore? Or are these, because all of these
anthemic songs like this
tend to be classic, you know?
We do. You just don't listen to them. Like, there are new popular songs from younger bands that they don't get radio play because they're 6-7 minutes long, but they're on the albums. People just don't listen to entire albums.
All right, so there is a couple of songs that I think are sort of long and multi. Passion Pit. The Killers.
Yeah. Do they have long ones?
They do.
Yeah.
I know that there are long songs like, you know, I mean, Rush, 2112. Yeah. It's 20 minutes long, but they never played that on the radio.
What about you would listen
to that at home.
No, that's true.
But I'm saying when it would come on, you're like, okay, I didn't pull up my phone. I didn't intend to play this. This just came into my life
now. It's a gift.
And I am going to listen to this from beginning to end.
That hippie on the radio is playing it.
There's a great song called Kings and Queens by 30 Seconds to Mars. And it got mild radio play, but it's too long, you know, but it's within the last 10 years, and it's a great song, but it just didn't stick around for very long.
All right, here's another one that my best friend Ben and I, it was our tune. We jammed out to it no matter what. And, Steve, you're going to love this. One bourbon, one scotch, and one beer. Steve hates George Thorogood, but that was a tune, and it was a long one, and it was a story, and it was fun, and,
yeah.
and we would always make sure that we stopped what we were doing and rocked out to it. Marissa?
I thought there'd be more U2 songs on the on this list, but I realized they're all, like, under 5 minutes. They just feel long.
Well, no. If you, Bad.
Bad.
Oh, okay.
The live version.
Bad, the live version.
I'll stop what I'm doing.
Yeah, that has to be listened to. And that's a case, too, where I think the live version exceeds the original recording.
Agreed.
So mine from Life is from the Dazed and Confused soundtrack, and it's Hurricane by Bob Dylan.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one.
No chorus.
No chorus, and it actually doesn't really exist anywhere on the internet,
yeah.
except a very few videos. So when it does come on, I still, to this day, will stop whatever I'm doing and sing along.
Yeah, why is that? Does Dylan just control the rights to it, and the music company takes it down if it ever gets posted?
Is that how it works, Jack?
I think he's very protective of that song in particular. Like, he hasn't played it in concert in 20-some years. So I think it's just like the story behind that song.
All right, Chuck, you popped in here. You got something to say?
Yeah, a couple of things. One, a song that comes to mind immediately is "Blinded by the Light."
Yeah,
love
yeah.
it. The Man for Man. Yeah, the Bill Cosby version.
But I also, speaking of hearing, yeah, speaking of hearing the whole thing, I have an update on our technical issue.
Okay,
I hate to derail you a little bit here, but we are currently completely out of delay.
Really?
Yeah, so you guys are going live.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything that happens is going to air. Just to let you know.
So I guess we're not taking any phone calls then.
Well, you can, just...
Nobody would have been the wiser.
We really can. True.
But here's what happened. They were demolishing Bill's old office on the third floor.
Oh.
Bill used to have access to the delay. The wires were live, and every time they cut a wire, it would dump out on the show.
Is that what was happening?
There were a couple of dumps on the Aerosmith song.
Okay.
And there have been a couple during the segment, but I think we're fine now.
Okay.
We're not fine now. We can't take calls if, you know, and it's not because people look to sabotage
me. Oh, I trust your listeners.
Yes, of course you do.
Thank you, Chuck, for ruining all the phone calls
we were going
to
go. We're doing it live.
All right, we're doing
it
live.
You know, it's a song that I love, Preston. That is a long song that it's an older one. I'm Your Captain.
Oh, yeah.
Grand
You're
Funk.
Right. Or Grand Funk. Yeah, that's a good one. And that would be worth waiting and listening to.
Another one is John Cougar Mellencamp's
I Need a Lover.
I Need a Lover. That's crazy. A long one. Yeah.
Yeah, I would absolutely, you know. Just
you got to hear the whole thing.
Stop whatever I'm going to do.
The whole effing thing.
So did you say I'm Your Captain?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure because we do have that in our system.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, what song is that?
Do you know it?
Keep listening.
Yeah, I know it.
Tune. So I'll mention some of these that are on our phone lines because we're not going to go to our phone calls. We have Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Yeah. But this song has so many...
It's got sections.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely.
We like sections.
It's got different sections to it, movements, if you will.
Which of your songs have sections?
Somebody's saying, Peter Frampton, Do You Feel Like We Do?
Wow. That one I listened to on repeat. I had eaten mushrooms in college, and I sat in a chair for like 5 hours straight, and I listened to that song over and over and over again.
I'm your captain. This is a great song, Steve. I'm glad you brought this up. So, Peter Frampton, Do You Feel Like You Do? Yeah, that's definitely a journey that you're taking, as Pierre has said, to use one of his words. What's this?
Hocus Pocus.
From Focus. Man. Then you have, somebody says, Inagata DeVita.
Inagata DeVita.
That's like 22 minutes long.
Yeah, that's...
22, really?
That's too much.
Too much.
So, they were just... Iron Butterfly was just in, like, the Reading area. My buddy owns a restaurant out there.
They were playing the restaurant?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, I don't know whoever the lead singer guy is or whatever, but he was sat there on...
Ladies and gentlemen, at table 11, Iron Butterfly.
But I have video of him doing Inagata DeVita on the piano.
Really?
Yes. Just him, just sitting there inside this restaurant.
Did anyone ask him to do that?
Yeah.
Hey, we're trying to eat over here, buddy.
So is Boston's Foreplay a long time in that category for you guys?
Yeah, it's a good song.
Yeah. And it's definitely got some length to it.
A lot of people are texting in Jungle Land by Bruce. That's, I believe, 9 minutes and 33 seconds long.
Is it that long?
At that last part.
The way that we reference it, it's 9 minutes and 33 seconds long.
Oh, there you go.
Ah, I get it.
But at the end, oh! Yeah. With the reverb and all that stuff when he's going on.
You ever see the documentary on this record where, because the tracks were all laid down, but Bruce, really was the conductor in the orchestra, and he let Clarence play and jam, but Bruce inserted it into the song the way that you hear it, and it's genius.
Yeah. People are texting in Freebird. That's definitely one if you're in the right mood.
The Allman Brothers have a couple.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. More than a couple.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah,
a
couple. Rangers at a homecoming
in Harlem late last night. That we don't like the Rangers. The magic rat drove a slick machine.
You know, actually,
I like this period of Bruce before he became a Nebraska farmer.
Yeah. Let's see. There's a lot of texts that are coming in of you know, kind of deep cuts that weren't really radio airplay. Although somebody's saying, you know, like Stranglehold from Ted Nugent. Stairway to Heaven is a bit of a commitment as well.
Yeah, you know,
Stairway to Heaven is immediate tune out for me.
Really?
It's just been beaten to death.
So,
and the second that I hear it, I'm gone. I used to love it. Oh, you know what? Another one, Layla.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's one.
Yes. So when you get to the piano break, mm-hmm. you got to get to that.
Yep.
All the way through.
That's got sections, too.
It's got really sections.
We like sections.
Guys, sorry I was late for work.
Yeah.
But Layla came on the radio.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I had to see it all the way through to the very end.
Back to Stairway to Heaven for a second. I remember thinking, like, what is the big deal? Why does everybody always go crazy over it? And then when it would come on the radio, I'm like, I need to listen to this to see, like, what the big deal is. And then I ended up getting into it and would listen to it every time it played.
Oh, there was a time when I loved it. And I kind of outgrew it after a while. But then I remember a couple of years ago, I'm like, it came on. I'm like, all right, I'll spend some time with it. And it really is a great song.
Do you know what happened, though, Preston? And you remember this about, so throughout the years as a, you know, rock radio listener, when they would do like the songs of summer, the top 500 countdown, wait around to see what's going to be number one. I don't need to. It's going to be Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah. Well, there were three that would always be where I grew up. It was either Stairway to Heaven, Free Bird, or Layla.
That's it.
Those were the three. Yeah. And you knew it was going to be one of them.
But Stairway to Heaven is not even, in my humble opinion, it's not the best Led Zeppelin song.
No, it's not my favorite Led Zeppelin song.
By the way, I've gotten into No Quarter quite a bit over the last couple of years. Because that song was never on my radar whatsoever. And now I'm like, wow, how did this one escape me for so long?
No Quarter?
No Quarter by Led Zeppelin.
I'm going to sound like an idiot because I don't know that song just from the title alone.
So. Yeah, I'll see if I can find it.
It's like Thank You Next by Ariana Grande.
No, it's really, really, really moody. But by the way, do you have an idea? In our library here, what song?
It's library.
Library. What song is the longest song that we have in our?
The longest song we have, would that be, besides Alice's Restaurant?
Alice's Restaurant's actually like seventh place.
You've got it here in front of me, and I looked at it.
Is it Supper's Ready?
That's second
place.
That's
number two.
Supper's Ready is one of my favorite long songs. I'm a big fan of Genesis.
Is it a Pink Floyd song?
Pierre would know. Yeah, it is a Pink Floyd song.
All right. Is it Animals?
No.
Is it?
It's Animals. I don't see
Marmont's.
No, because Dogs is in there, but that's not number one. Dogs is like 11th place.
Is it
Shih Tzu's?
Shine On You Crazy Diamond.
It is not. Shine On You is 1327.
Oh,
Pigs.
I'll give you a hint. Nick, say that again. The title.
Shine On You Crazy Diamond.
Shine On You Crazy Diamond.
Yeah. What?
What?
What? What? Part two.
What's happening?
What's happening?
What's happening?
Repeating?
Repeating.
Right back at me?
Right back at me?
What's going on?
I'm not getting it.
You're not getting it?
No.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Is anybody else getting it?
Echo.
Marissa's got it.
Echo's got it. I'm so thick sometimes.
What is it?
In front of me. Echoes.
Oh.
We were repeating.
It was an echo. My little Twitter thing on my phone kept going.
You got distracted by Twitter?
I got distracted by Twitter. Somebody brought up the loadout, Jackson Brown.
I understand.
There you go, Steve.
Yes.
That, absolutely. I clearly remember one time having to be somewhere. It was important, and that came on. Now the lights. But the stage is all empty. Let the roadies take the stage. I love that song. And that would change my course of whatever I was doing.
We got Richard Pryor on the video.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, Preston, this is No Quarter right here.
Okay. This is No Quarter?
Yeah. It's about him standing in front of a vending machine. Anybody have a quarter?
No quarter.
Does anybody have a quarter?
No quarter.
I want to get a Zagna.
Back then, they only cost a quarter. Yeah.
In the hall of the Marmont. Conveyor of Ebola virus.
Let's see here. Some Twitter posts coming in include, like Casey had said, Hotel California. November Rain is getting a lot of mention.
You know what? I was never a massive fan of that song.
Yeah.
At that point, I appreciate the song. At that point, I had started to really not like Axl Rose.
Oh, no. See, I was, that was like right in my wheelhouse.
I appreciate, you know, that whole deal, but it was like, to me, it seemed very pompous.
Here's a long one, and you guys, believe it or not, I was listening to this song yesterday because I have it in my collection. It's Rapper's Delight from the Sugar Hill Gang.
Really?
I love that song, and it's a long one, too. It's probably the first rap song I ever heard, and it would come on. Where I learned it was at the skating rink. You guys know me. I was a total roller skater. And I was like, there's this song where the people are talking in it. They don't sing.
Can you recite the lyrics?
I said, hip, hop, hip it, hip it, hip, hip, hop, and you don't stop. Or rock it to the bang, bang, boogie. Say, up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. And now I am one to Mike, and I'd like to say hello to the black, to the white, the red and the brown, the purple and yellow. Yes, I'm Caucasian, very. And I don't have the delivery, but, oh, yeah, here we go. Now, I only remember Wonder Mike's section because there were like three different guys, I think.
That, oh, were there?
That rapped. You don't stop the rocket to the bang bang boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now, what you hear is not a test. I'm a rapping to the beat. It's in me, the groove, and my friends are going to try to move your feet. And it's actually, what is the song they sample? Because that was sampling.
Good times.
Every time you meet a pavement.
Oh, wrong song.
There's a
the purple and yellow. But first, I got a bang bang.
I gotta relearn this. Most definitely.
So. Rap has definitely evolved over the years. There is a comedian. I don't know who it is, but he talks about how rap used to be compared to what it was. He's like, you know.
I
went down to the hat store and I bought myself a hat.
I think that might have been Donald Glover.
Is it Donald Glover?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's a little different now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. I bought myself a hat.
I mean,
that's the way it was.
Even the Beastie Boys, like, one of their lyrics is like, it's like Fred Flintstone driving around with both feet. It's like... How is that? That's not edgy. Whatever.
I'll stir fry you in my wok.
I'm pulling it right now because I learned the words of that song from the Wedding Singer soundtrack.
Okay. Yeah, the old lady.
First verse and then passes it on.
That was a good section of that movie. That was in sections.
Eric up here has Jesus of Suburbia, Green Day.
A lot of people are texting in that.
And it's a good song.
And Casey, pull up the length on that. It's
and the girth.
9 minutes. And the girth. Cap, what were you going to say?
No, I never mind.
Okay.
No, you should say it.
We're talking about not having a delay. I don't know if I can say that.
Write it down.
Spell it or write it down or something like that?
No, here, I'll paraphrase. So it's just a side note. My friend texted me and said, ew, I cannot listen to Stairway to Heaven ever since I had to go to the prom with a family friend who was basically like a cousin to me, and he got a little you-know-what when they were dancing.
No way.
Oh, he got a boner.
Yeah. That's funny.
Look, he's got a boner.
All right, here's another one.
He's got a boner.
That's one of my favorite drops.
It's a good
that
one.
Needs to be at the ready.
Hit it again. Why did it turn out?
He's got a boner. Look, he's got a boner.
There was a time when I would hear... Styx, Come Sail Away.
Yes.
That was another one that was a bit of a journey, too, because it had sections.
Journey?
Journey, let me see. Well,
what would be the most... I mean, obviously, there's so many...
No,
this is a great song.
Journey would be...
Don't Stop?
No. Love and Touch and Squeeze Him.
Oh, yeah.
No. Very Hey Jew-esque at the end with the refrain over and over. But, yeah, this was...
Sail away. You don't like it?
No, I just...
I love it, actually.
Set an open car.
I can tell.
More, please.
I can't. I don't know the words. I want to be free.
Dennis DeYoung. He had a very high-pitched voice.
And then when it started, listen, this was pop rock, but it was still, you know.
I was a fan of
absolutely.
See, like, Fish has, and I hate to always bring it because I know you guys don't give a crap, but they, at least on one, every album, has one song that is like a...
song.
It is like a song.
No. Normal structure.
It's you know, songs in sections.
Okay. Yeah, like a big long. See, a lot of times this sort of music would end up on. Preston, you and I are fans of theme albums.
Oh yeah,
and a lot of times, concept albums that would have.
I was explaining that to my son what a concept album was,
right?
And because I had played for him Dark Side, I played for him The Wall,
yeah.
And I was so impressed with him because he goes, "Hey, is that like that Beatles one?" And he had basically named Golden Slumbers. I go, "Well, that's not a concept album, but those songs together kind of is what that you
second
know
second side.
The genius of that whole selection is that those are all incomplete songs that they married together into what is a great song now.
That was the George Martin genius.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of what Sweet Judy Blue Eyes was? Wasn't that like four different songs?
Three or four songs? Yeah.
Yep. And they decided to, you know what, these can somehow or another jigsaw puzzle together and make it one great song.
Two great tastes that taste great together.
Exactly. So Rush, and this is getting aside a little bit from when a song would come on the radio and it would detour you from whatever you were currently doing because you wanted to spend time with that. But I mean, Rush is you had Rush, you had Yes, you had Genesis, Pink Floyd. These were the bands that did those big, long form, awesome songs. And there's plenty of them out there because Hemisphere's Side One is from Rush is incredible. But it's a big list. It would never get played.
You would feel incomplete if you didn't hear, if you didn't hear the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it could be a 5 or 6 minute song, but there's a part of this song that if I don't hear it, I'm going to feel like I missed something, even though I've heard it 500 times.
Here's one for you, Steve. Texter coming in. Knights in White Satin.
Knights in White. Well, that's, again, one of the great concept albums of all time is Days of Future Past. Yeah. It's got the poetry. It's got the recorded, that weird recording method that they used.
Yeah. In fact, when you started playing that Elton John song, that's what I thought it was, Press.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
This is a party song, Nick, for your next frat party.
You know what? As a teenager, driving in my car, this is where I first heard it. I totally enjoyed this.
And when it goes into the trippy poetry, if you don't hear the trippy poem, you haven't heard the whole thing.
Steve, okay, another one. And this did rarely get played on the radio, but Fool's Overture from Supertramp.
So Supertramp, wow. I know you're a huge fan, as am I.
Yeah.
I mean, I listen to them all the time, still do.
Me too.
Fool's Overture and the live version from the Paris concert.
Yep.
That is phenomenal.
That band gets overlooked.
Yes.
I mean, they were phenomenal. And
Crime of the Century, Crisis, what crisis?
And Fool's Overture is a... That's a big piece.
Even in the quietest moments.
Yeah. Marissa has brought in a list of a bunch of other ones that will, whatever you're doing, you will stop and listen. Purple Rain, that's a big listen as well. Riders on the Storm, that's another one.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've got
to be in the right mood.
Right, because it used to be the standard thing. Did you ever? You wouldn't have done it when you were Kenny and I, because it wouldn't have been the kind of music you'd play, right? But on basic rock stations... On a rainy day,
we could play Riders of the Storm.
You would absolutely.
This one goes out to Jim Morrison. Yeah. We lost you many years ago.
Yeah, the old FM style.
Yep.
When we play earlier clips of MMR.
Oh yeah,
you can hear that.
Yeah,
just take flight on a pigeon's wings.
Yeah, right. I think even Pierre the Nighthawk was kind of like that.
Yeah.
You're listening to WMMR. Tonight we pay tribute to the late, great Jim Morrison, who often whipped his dong out of stage and showed it to all who would view it. His statement.
Oh, you are going to say that. Yeah, no, I'm waiting. I didn't want to ruin it.
You pursed your lips in a manner as if to suggest words were going to come forth.
Well, I was going to ask you if you guys prefer this song over The End. You know, which is also like the sort of...
The End is... I find this easier to listen to, but I associate the sequence that uses this in Apocalypse Now so effing amazing. They're napalming the forest.
Yeah. A few people have texted in one that I like. I want to know if you guys do as well. Stranglehold by Ted Nugent.
Yeah, I'd mentioned that earlier.
Oh, did you?
But you were probably going through the text. Yeah. That's a good one. Here's another one, too.
It's called Stranglehold.
How about this, Steve? Somebody had texted in from Alan Parsons' project, iRobot.
Yes!
Wow, yeah. That's a great song.
And that album cover I loved. Yeah. It had a very sci-fi look to it.
What's the joke in Austin Powers with the Alan Parsons project?
So this is... yes, by scientist Parsons and it was the Allen team who joined up or something like that for the Allen Parsons project.
And said, you don't get it, do you?
And Allen Parsons was, I think he was the producer for Dark Side of the Moon.
Really? Yeah, so he had that connection. Mm-hmm. So he had some trippy stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Here are a few more that
Blame
are
Blame It on the Rain?
No, that's not on here.
Dude, I love that song, man.
Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a long Stone song, but you can't deny that rhythm. It's so good. It's just,
Thank you.
It makes you feel good.
I like,
I feel bad for the devil.
You can't always get what you want. It's a long Stone song. And then,
It's just Piscataway?
No, not Give Me Shelter.
It's just Piscataway.
It's just Piscataway.
It's in New Jersey. Or no, it's in New York.
This is a tribute to the great state of New Jersey and one town in particular, Piscataway.
Is Piscataway in New Jersey?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. It is. Just a second. Marissa?
I rent the turnpike.
I have two, but I can't think of the second one, so I need help. It's Life's Been Good by Joe Walsh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what's
you could have said you could think of the first one.
I'm all frazzled.
The order was irrelevant to us as listeners. You were dealing with the personal struggle we need not have been brought into.
What's the other one about becoming a rock star?
By the Stones?
No.
Oh, Nickelback,
Photograph
by Nickelback.
No, Rockstar by Nickelback.
No, it's driving me crazy. It's like I'm a shining star, and it's a whole progression about a guy like...
Superstar?
No.
Shooting Star.
Shooting Superstar. That's Bad Company.
That one.
It's a ballad. It's a story.
Yes.
But Johnny was a schoolboy, and when he learned his first Beatles song and so on and so forth. You know what this song reminds me of, bizarrely? Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, really?
Because when they're in the city and they're about to leave, I think, or they get into the city and it's the deep, dark, scary city.
Oh, yeah.
They start playing this.
Oh.
Yeah.
I take it back. Shooting Star's only 4 minutes.
You know,
it's not a big anthemic, but it's a story that you love.
There's
so
many songs that weren't played on the radio. Joe Jackson, there's a whole album, Blaze of Glory, that the original album was recorded straight through with no breaks in any of the songs. That's the one that has 19 Forever.
In a blaze of glory.
Not Bon Jovi.
Young Guns 2.
I know how much you love that.
Oh my God, when they turn into that song.
When they turn into cowboys.
Cowboys!
Can't You Hear Me Knockin' was the one that I was trying to think of, the Stone song.
Listen to this.
Oh, this is Funeral for a Friend.
We do have it.
Nothing Else Matters from Metallica is another one people are mentioning. Muse, Knights of Sidonia.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
Band on the Run. Definitely, from Paul McCartney.
What about, what else from Paul McCartney?
From the
solo stuff.
Venus and Mars.
The Christmas song.
I hate that song.
I do too.
I love Paul McCartney and I hate
Simply
that song.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
That's another conversation. I love this band, but I hate this song. That's
what do you think is the worst Beatles song? I know it's a whole other conversation, and I want to start it right now.
probably one of George's trippy Indian songs, because I just don't get into that particular sound.
It's another one of the Indian songs.
Another racist
George song from the Indians.
That's when he presented it to John.
That's great.
Yeah.
We'll really listen to this one.
Yeah.
I'm sure it has a lot of bing, bang, bing, 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 bing.
Yeah. Paul, what do you think about it?
It's interesting. Can't get enough of the sitar. He said, Riley, knowing that he could get enough of it.
and was in fact sick of it.
That scene in Dewey Cox, I'm just trying to get more songs on the record.
You want to say anything, Ringo?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I wrote a song about an octopus.
Boing, boing, boing. There's somebody in that recording booth had to go, Jesus Christ.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. All right, anyhow, we got started on this conversation because one Mr. Billy Joel celebrates his 70th birthday today, and we had played a little bit of Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. That is one of those songs. You know what else? Another one of his is Captain Jack.
Yes. Captain Jack will get you high tonight.
Long song, really cool, very awesome story that ties into WMMR around that and getting his career. I mean, listen, Billy probably would have been a star no matter what, but MMR certainly gave him a leg up with releasing that live version that he recorded here at the studios. And because they had recorded his original album at the wrong speed, and it tanked. Everybody bought it, and it was like, Captain Jack, we're getting out tonight. And he was about to give up. He had left. He was going to quit the music business. He had recorded this. MMR started playing it, and it became a huge hit, and it reinvigorated the interest in Billy Joel.
It's a great song.
Yeah, it's a
great
song.
A brain fart, but what is a... They say that these are not the best of times. What's the title of that? But they're the only times I've ever known.
I don't know off the top of my head.
I think it's One Bourbon. No. What is the name? Nick, you know. Have to know, right?
I can't think of other songs while another song is playing. So all I can hear right now is Captain Jack.
These are not the best of times. But...
Is it a Billy Joel song?
Yes!
I don't know.
Here's
a tweet.
Like,
why are you thinking about that? It says, you guys are such dicks. The segment is so good, I don't want to get out of my truck until you're finished, just like the songs we were talking about.
It's exactly what we attempted to do.
Right. Summer Highland Falls?
Yes!
That's
a beautiful song. You know the song, don't you?
No.
Does anybody know the song?
I do, yes.
You know the song.
I like the Downeaster.
Alexa.
Yeah, that's a great song.
I just use my Alexa.
I'm sailing.
I can't. I just use my Alexa. All
right.
It told me what time it was and the temperature outside.
And sometimes some
trivia. It turns out the light outside my garage, my Alexa.
All right.
I don't use my Google Home much.
No. We should take a break, and we're going to do that very thing. But thank you for your contributions via text, because that's all we're taking today, gang.
They cut the wires on our dump button.
Yeah, we'll be back in a moment. Our friend Joe Matarese, who's going to be at Punchline tonight, will be in here. And speaking of Punchline, we have a new... Preston and Steve Daily Rush video, which is sponsored by our friends at Punchline Philly Comedy Club. The latest one is called Walking Deadton Abbey. They're making a Walking Dead movie and Downton Abbey movie, and they should just combine them. Rick James is going to star in it, apparently.
It's amazing.
Watch the video now at PrestonandSteve.com. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We had a fun discussion in the last segment, which means that we can get serious for a second here. This was, you know, Nick, yesterday you had told me the news about Dave Montgomery of the Phils passing away. Cancer, 5-year battle. I think he was 72 years old. We had John Clark in here from NBC 10, and he was echoing what you were saying, Nick, about his reputation as being a really personable guy, even though he was one of the higher ups as far as you can get in Philadelphia sports goes, and remained just to be a regular guy.
And a fan of the fans,
right.
Because he came up as such.
But I didn't really grasp the gravity of his passing until I saw two clips that were on the news this morning of two people we know pretty well, Larry Boa and Mickey Morandini. And, oh, my God, it's so hard to listen to and watch. I'm going to play it here in a moment.
Yeah, I mean,
tearjerker alert for you.
Ed Snyder was an icon in this town, and the way that he shaped the franchise coming to Philadelphia and getting the Spectrum built and then the Wells Fargo Center built cannot be replaced. But Ed was not known as the warmest, kindest individual on the planet, and his impact will be lasting for sure. Dave Montgomery will be remembered as a kind, decent person who remembered everybody's name. And when you see tributes and hear tributes like the one you're about to play, Preston, you realize the impact that he had on so many people's lives was nothing but positives. And that's an encouraging thing.
So this is at a press conference. This is Larry Boa who's talking about him.
He's the best human being I've ever been around. Ever. He was like a father to me. We're losing a lot of Philly family every year. And this one hurts really, really bad. This man, I don't know, words can't express what he meant to the organization, what he meant to me. He knew everybody's first and last name. If you were a vendor selling popcorn or beer, if you were clubhouse guy doing the wash, if you were a ticket holder, he treated you like you were the king. Nobody had to feel bad around Dave. He made you feel like the greatest person in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
That's impact. Oh. That's an impact on someone.
Yeah. And then Mickey Morandini. Same way. Here we go.
The sad, sad day. I love that man so much. It was truly amazing how many people's lives he touched. And, you know, I'd be with him and he'd stop the security guard. And I know they touched on it, but he'd know that the security guard's wife and children. And then the front office guy would come and he'd ask how the wife, and he knew their children. And then a custodian, and he knew the wife and he knew the children. I mean, it was amazing. It was utterly amazing. I meet someone, and 20 minutes later, I'm like, I forgot their name already. And after I retired and spent some time away from the Phillies, Dave's the reason I came back, because I knew what kind of organization he ran and the relationships I had in this organization, and Dave's the biggest part of it.
Oh, man, and that's why he came back, specifically because you had asked him to. Oh, my God.
Wow.
But like you said, I mean, that made me feel horrible about myself. I mean, I mean, in a good way, in a tribute to somebody who's really gone above and beyond and treated people with dignity and respect, and when they didn't necessarily have to. And it's a testament to how special that is, you know?
Yeah. Very, very touching and very heartfelt to see these guys.
Oh, man.
You just don't say that.
So moved.
You don't say stuff like Larry Boa said. Just about any. He's the best person I knew.
Yes, yeah.
Like a father to me.
And he's met us.
It's amazing. Oh, yeah. And then, Preston, listen, you know, I think you and your wife, Rachel, and your sons, Peter and Corey, and your daughter, Karen, you know, they love you because of the man you are.
They do.
If you are, in fact, a man.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carl.
Roast beef. That's how the nickname thing is always a quick out. Hey, buddy.
Yep.
Hey, pal of mine.
But that is, you couldn't have put it better, Steve. That's real impact right there. Mm-hmm. That's somebody who lived a full life and made good use of it. So,
do we know, fans, you know, has there been any direction as far as making donations to, you know, I'm sure there's some sort of charity or something or, you know, or any.
Well, they're on the road, so I bet there'll be a nice tribute when the Phils get back to town. They're in Kansas City this weekend. And so I would imagine, Steve, that they'll have a nice long tribute to them for whenever their next home game is. And then hopefully set up like some kind of David Montgomery cancer fund or scholarship or something along those lines.
That'd be great. A couple people texting in saying that that Larry's older than Dave was, and yet he said he was like a father to me.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes people, despite their age, if they're in a position that's higher than yours, that's more senior than yours, can feel kind of paternal, you know?
Well, I've always, like, for me, Pancake's been like an aunt to me. I think Pancake is very much like an aunt to me.
Yes. It's very feminine.
The aunt you never had.
I had aunts, but
a great aunt.
Not like that.
Not like a guy. No aunt of mine was a guy who wore baseball hats all
Auntie
the time.
Pancake.
Yep. Yeah.
Auntie Pancake.
And thus another name is born.
But you have to be careful when you say that because people think you're militantly against pancakes.
No, you're right.
Anti.
Yeah.
Auntie.
Auntie Pancake.
Auntie Pancake.
The Phillies organization, it's very interesting. I have a friend who he was working there as a second job. He ended up working in concessions, and his real job, you know, he was like an accountant, a controller or whatever. And so
but he just sold food out of his desk.
Well, he wanted to make extra money. Like he had a family and
I've got some hot dogs in here.
So hear me out there.
Okay.
So right. There he is as a second job, just, you know, grabbing extra money. And he's you know, doing the day-to-day operations. And he's noticing how perhaps things could run smoother.
Yeah.
Right? So he ends up going to, like, a superior. And he's like, hey, you know, I noticed this. And, you know, and just had a kind of like a list of these things. And the superior's like, who the hell is this guy? And why are his ideas so great? Like, and so instead of just dismissing the guy who's selling hot dogs,
right, yeah,
they actually sat and listened to him. They're like, nah, your efforts are being wasted, you know, slinging hot dogs here. And so he ended up getting a job
with unemployment. No, that's very cool.
Yeah.
A lot of times people are very overly covetous of their positions and don't realize when, you know, you want those good ideas being heard.
Yep.
Wouldn't that be great if, like, Tim Graham was selling, you know, hot dogs out of his desk down the hall in our sales department?
Yeah. Who wants Scooter Pies? That's the lower drawer.
Yeah. Hey, we got pulled pork today.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He opens up a drawer.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just
steaming. A whole
I think we got an idea here.
Why not?
This is the beginning of something. I'm smart.
I work concessions. Well, technically, I'm a sales rep.
Mostly, I have a desk.
Yeah. But it's full of food.
Right. Oh, man.
I just bared the wires on my lamp, and I heat up my drawers with it.
Full board.
That's why it's always steaming.
Yeah, don't touch the desk. It's hot.
What's that sizzling sound? Oh, it's the pulled pork in my drawer.
Oh, it's your hand on my drawer. Wow. Okay. Well, I don't know where to go now.
Well, it was very touching.
It was very touching. I at first, I didn't even recognize Larry because I had came in the middle of the clip and he was so, you know, his face was, he was kind of, you know, looking down and covering up a little bit because I guess he was a little, you know, ashamed by breaking down that much, but, or maybe he wasn't, I don't know, but it was, it was really, really touching.
Go ahead. I was going to say, it almost makes you want to, like, fake your desk so you can hear what people say about you.
Or actually go through with it.
Yeah.
And then your ghost. No, you know what? I was wondering, though, to that point, like, when you see somebody you don't ever see cry or don't expect to cry, it's a wild thing, you know?
Agreed.
I like my dad didn't cry much, but I remember when I saw him cry, it was like, wow.
I only saw my dad cry one time, and it affected me deeply. It was at his father's funeral, and it was hard to see that.
When my mom passed, you know, I remember clearly, and, you know, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
My dad has become a different person over the years. When I was a teenager in early 20s, he was often angry and driven by that.
And now he's in the Blue Man Group.
Well,
beer.
He retired, and he needed something to fill the time, Steve, and he was a fan.
No, but you see, life will change you, obviously. Well,
so what I was going to say was that when he and I repaired our relationship, and then he had four grandsons, he's turned into this old softy, and so he is a person who one of his goals in life is to laugh every day and to cry every day.
It's funny you say that, because Nick, because growing up, my dad referred to our cat. We had a couple cats, but one cat. His loving names were the scumbag. You know, he just and now he is the with the cats and turning on the faucet, and he goes, oh, I'm petty. He's become that softy.
Yeah, I hope that I, you know, hang on to sensitivity and compassion and things like that. Now, it can go the other way. Some people turn cranky.
Bitter.
And bitter when they get older.
Hitler started in the Blue Man Group. And then Das Blue Man Group. Das Blue Man Gruppen.
He switched the other way.
Yeah.
I'm tired
of the blue paint!
I wonder how my kids are going to push my buttons as they go. Or I got into an argument with my son yesterday, and he was laughing at me. I was like, dude. And then so, like, I ended up chilling out about it because he was totally pushing my buttons. But the bottom line was I was picking my nose, and he was calling me out on it. He's like, dude, you're always picking your nose. And I was like,
oh, my God.
I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, you eat your boogers. He goes, you're arguing with me? Are you arguing? I was like, no.
You have created.
That's got to go well.
You've created mini you. And so it's being visited back on you.
Yep.
You're picking your nuts while you're sitting here talking.
I am not picking my nuts.
Yes, you were.
What I am doing.
Do you ever use your nuts to pick your nuts?
Go ahead.
I am just creating a fabric barricade in between my thighs.
Yeah. Okay, that's where he rubs his boogers.
Yeah. No, I roll those and flick them on Preston.
Oh, my God. That is so funny that Seamus called you out on picking your nose.
And then he was laughing at me, and I was like, oh, ho, ho.
Who's your little, who's your always got your back? Who Casey. Is Casey, oh, right?
Yeah. No, my Reggie, my dog.
Oh, your dog.
Jesus. Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. I'm the odd man out in that household.
What? Right. Oh, my God, that's funny, but I wouldn't doubt it. Me and Reggie are just going to sit over here then by ourselves. We don't need you.
Don't look at me.
We don't need anybody over here.
And then somebody's like, oh, really? Ding dong. And then Reggie's like, rah, 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 rah.
He takes off.
They go ring the doorbell. Yeah,
you see. Oh, you're cuddling with your dogs. Really? Ding dong.
Oh, my God. That's too much. All right. Anyhow, I thought the, and Steve did as well, that audio was worth playing. I know it's very, very sad and very hard to hear, but that's the impact that this gentleman had on, and as they've been saying, not only these two guys, but a lot of reporters and so on, thousands of people, because he was that pleasant to regular visitors at the ballpark.
I would imagine that they might would consider at least a way for the public en masse to...
A public viewing? Not necessarily viewing, but a celebration
memorial,
of life.
Yeah, something at the ballpark, nice. Yeah.
All right, we should take a break, but let's do something that might make Mom cry because she will be so happy that you got this for her.
Stop picking your nose.
Yep. Yeah. No, I have a table for Mom and up to 7 guests for a special Mother's Day brunch with Godshall's Turkey Bacon hosted by Casey Boy and Jackie Bam Bam. And not only that, it will be this Sunday at the Mummers Museum from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
This is going to be, so Godshall's always brings in gourmet level food when they bring in the stuff. And people just freak out at how good it is. You're going to get that treatment for this.
All right, so we'll take caller 27 at 215-263-WMMR. And there's a tour of the museum, crafts for the kids, flowers for Mom, and all the brunch favorites, waffles, pancakes, eggs, fruit, biscuits, and turkey bacon. Plus something special from Godshall's own chef, Samantha Curriton. A performance from the Woodland String Band, too.
Whoa!
Yeah,
which is pretty
awesome.
Cool. All right. So call her 27-215-263-WMMR. Your Mother's Day celebration will be taken care of. We'll be back in a moment. Matt Reese here yet?
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Joe's popping in because he's got a gig coming up at Punchline tomorrow, Saturday. And we'll get to the details on those when we return. Stay put.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
Now. 93.3 WMMR. Now. Everything that rocks.
Playing at Punchline tonight, tomorrow, Saturday is our next guest in our studio back in town once again. And part of the mental health comedy tour. We'll find out more about that. Joe Matarese!
Hey, guys. Here. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Nice to see you, sir.
Good to see you guys.
Welcome back. Everything okay over there? You're rewiring the system.
It's like cool. Oh, yeah. I'm looking at you going, well, it's not visual. Why are you going to talk about what they're wearing? That wouldn't make sense on radio.
It's okay.
But you guys got cool shirts on.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Do you know what this is, right?
Does everybody at home know that you guys got cool shirts?
Yes. We actually start every morning by going over our wardrobe.
Yeah. No one knows what we're wearing.
But I've got the Sean Connery original James Bond.
Sean Connery and James Bond. And what does Preston have on his shirt, Joe?
He's got a U2. Yeah. Is that, let me see what album that is. Let's see if I can think. Is that
a couple of summers ago? So I went to that.
You know what? You're also rocking a little bit of the, you got a little bit of the salt and pepper thing going on. You look very, very sort of regal and dashing, I would say. You'd be the sort of hip lit teacher at a college.
I think Preston and I have the same look.
Yeah, you got the sort. It's. I think it suits you very nicely.
Like I love that you're talking to me like I strategically did it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is.
Well, you know, I'm like trying to grow the gray in just right. You know,
you could dye it.
I'm trying to do it.
You could dye it out.
You could dye it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you imagine just strategically dyeing every other hair white?
You haven't seen our midday guy, have you?
Oh, yeah.
How
they
weird those, would you be? They have those dyeing kits that are called just a little bit of gray.
Yes, they do.
If you want to
leave, makes you a star in the bedroom and the boardroom, right, Preston?
That's right.
Well, let's start with a bad joke that I actually said on stage once. And I was like, oh, I should never have said that. But I did try to do that Just for Men shampoo dye thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I tried it once. No, well, I can't say I tried it once because it's like a slow thing.
Yeah.
And you can decide if you want to stop using it, if you want to let yourself get a little gray again.
Yeah.
Then you start. It doesn't like make it black in one wash.
Okay. It's not that stuff. Right. It's gradual.
Just a little bit.
Gradual.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
So what happens is this is the bad joke. It's like your fingernails start to turn like gray and black. The bottom of your tubs turning black, and the stuff's called Just for Men, right? And I said, this is so bad. I love starting with this. Honesty, beautiful. This is a bad punchline. I said, that stuff should be called Just for Men Who Don't Mind Black Fingernails and a Gray Tub. It's so bad. Just for Men.
That is right.
That is not a good joke.
Right in the old dumpster.
Nice try, Ed. It would work on, like, late-night television in the 70s.
Gray tub, sir.
Just give it a bass sound.
Right. Do you remember who would fill in when Doc Simonson was out? Who was the band leader who would fill in? Do you remember this? Going back to the Carson years?
Oh, my God.
Tommy Newsom.
Tommy Newsom and Freddie DeCordova.
And Freddie DeCordova was the producer,
Yes.
There we go. A bunch
the
of
drummer is Ed Shaughnessy. Tonight we have Tommy Newsom.
Yeah.
Behind the music over there.
Joining us will be Joe Matarese with a whole bunch of bad tub jokes.
We do impressions of people from 1971.
Right.
Coming up is George Gobel.
God almighty. George Gobel. Jesus Christ. That's going back.
Else? Who else?
Charlie Callis will be joining
us.
Of course, the Lander sisters, Audrey and Judy. Bert Convy.
Bert Convy's here today.
Yes.
He straightened
and Stan Kahn, remember that guy Stan Kahn who would come out with all inventions that never worked?
Who is the puppeteer?
Were many puppeteers.
Something and Flowers.
Whalen Madam and Flowers.
Whalen Madam and Flowers are here. Peaches and Herb are going to be coming out in a couple of minutes. Playing a brand new song.
who was the guy that had Lester?
Lester and Willie.
Lester and Willie.
Right. Yeah.
That was the other... The ventriloquism team.
It was terrible. Yes. Who's the guy who had the puppet, the emu puppet? You remember that one?
No.
Yeah, he had like a bird puppet that was. You remember this bunch of? How did those show those acts made it on?
Dude,
was arguably the most the most watched late night show of all time.
This is what I like about coming on Preston and Steve. Like, I like that there's no, like, plan. It's just like, let's just talk about what... Because what you're saying, to me, this is going to sound like I planned it, but I just saw the Cher show on Broadway.
What did you think?
I just saw Cher on Broadway. Sonny Bono's looking good.
Ladies and gentlemen of the audience, Joe Matarese.
How was it?
I just realized that was your Cher impression.
Yeah.
Do you believe in Matarese after love?
I'm not going to lie. I expected it to be bad because I went on one of those, like, do you ever just buy
like a dare
last minute ticket to like a show, like a Broadway or here at a big Philly
theater? Like $9. Normally they're like $500 and you get like last minute. They want to fill up the theater.
You got some app that's like, hey, I got a ticket for you. That's
what it's called. The app talks like
Joe
Pesci.
Got a ticket for you. .com. So $75. I'm like, I'm off. My wife's off. I'm like, Let me Google this. I look and there's like this girl who's having her Broadway debut. She's only 19.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's a cool story. It's this girl out of high school is getting to be on Broadway and she's playing young Cher. And I think it might be the best Broadway show I've ever seen.
Is it her life? It's her life. It's like the Carol King.
Yes. But what's really cool about it is there's three actresses playing Cher. But they're not playing them at, like, stages. So you don't see young Cher and then the middle-aged Cher, then old Cher.
Really?
It's actually all three of them are on stage together a lot and mentoring each other from different perspectives. Because, like, old Cher is talking to young Cher. And it tells her like, story. And, it was an unbelievable. The actress is playing Cher, like, this young Cher. Is phenomenal. Like,
no
phenomenal.
Kidding.
It's going to win a Tony. I'm telling you. It's the best.
Okay. And who's playing older Cher? Is it Bradley Whitford?
Yes. Stu Nahum. Tonight, you might recognize this guy from some scenes in Rocky. Stu Nahum is here.
So listen, Joe, we're watching video clips of the stage show, and you forget what a badass body Cher had back in the day because these women playing her
they're ripped.
They're ripped.
I'm not going to lie.
Outrageous outfits.
I'm not going to lie. It's for guys, it's a show you can see, and watch really hot girls and not be yelled at by your wife.
You'll be surprised at how many boners you pop.
Yes. It's got a high boner quota.
So who's playing Sonny?
This guy who was in the that show Beautiful, the Carol King, he's playing Sonny. And they were just on Fallon. They had a whole night on the Tonight Show where it was just a Cher show night. And I've been torturing my wife. Do you guys do this? When I see a movie or I see something that I really like, that's why these bands make these documentaries now. Because when you see one of these rock and roll docs, you just want to listen to their music for like two straight months.
So, did you see Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I downloaded that soundtrack. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like as I'm leaving the theater, I'm like on my app.
Yeah.
But like the share, I'm just everywhere I go, I'm just like, you know, what you were
do
just
you
going,
believe?
Yeah. What's the other one? What's the other big hit?
Well, there were a lot of
them. There's the Believe, and then there's the other one.
If I could turn back time.
They said I won't pay the rent.
Mad Reese, how I love to hate the world. Yeah.
Pretty interesting that Sonny Bono actually wrote those hit songs. Like, you don't think about it.
Sonny Bono was
And the Beat Goes On, which is like such a great song.
If you want to see a great rock doc, you want to see The Wrecking Crew about the musicians that work with Sonny and Cher. Like that, you know, that beat, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I love that.
That's created by these musicians.
I've been torturing my wife every morning. As soon as she like opens her eyes, I go, and the beat goes on.
That's a great song.
I thought The Whispers was the same song. Totally different. I didn't realize until I saw that Broadway play that you can just have the same exact title as another song and have it be a different song and no one cares. Like, you can't do that with comedy, really. Like,
joke.
Yeah, I got this. No, like,
that's just my bathtub
joke. Same bathtub, but it's like change a couple of things.
Right. So we wanted to ask about this, the tour and the whole idea behind the mental health thing. And so give us an idea of what the show is. And
well, that's pretty interesting because this is the first leg of the tour.
So right here.
It's in Philly.
Beginning right now.
Starting tonight.
Wow.
At the Punchline. Well, it's got a sad thing behind it. And I like to put the sad on the
But it's a
radio.
Good thing. We think it's a very cool thing.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of performers struggle with mental illness. And I'm always been a fan in my career of like taking negatives and making positives.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of funny.
Yes.
In the sad. It's like when you go to funerals, this is going to sound weird, but when you see a good eulogy, it's usually got some hilarious stuff.
Actually, Cher delivered one of the best and funniest eulogies on Sonny Bono.
That's true.
And she was talking about all the bizarre stuff that he did.
Yeah.
And it was funny.
Yeah, the ex-wives club was there. Yeah, and everything. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, there can be really light moments in those eulogies. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like similar with this mental health comedy tour, but the Philly one's different because it's, I don't have the other guys from the tour on this one. This one, none of the ticket price is going to the foundation, but all the things being given away and sold and raising money after the show, 100% of that is going
all the merch
to the nonprofit.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent.
And
the nonprofit is?
Is T, do you have this on the one
yeah,
sheet?
Yeah, to write love on her arms.
There it is. Their acronym is TWLOH. A, and it's classic because I have attention deficit disorder as one of my mental illnesses, and it's so hard for me to remember an acronym.
That's not really an acronym. That's a bunch of letters.
Yeah. TWLOHA. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't. Yeah.
No, that's just say all the words.
To but write love on her arms.
You have the same thing I have, which is you make no sense.
It's called dumb.
It's called dumb.
Aloha. You got what I got.
Dumb.
So Joe. Let's get dumb Italian guys saying that to you. Hey, you know what? You got what I got. And I had this happen. I'm gonna get whacked for this joke on your radio show.
All right.
You know the guy who played Big Pussy, right?
Yes. You can say Big Pussy.
His name? Pastore.
Yeah, we had him on the show.
Yeah, he lives in New Rochelle, he's from New Rochelle, where I live. And I did his radio show once. It was called, like, A Bunch of Dumb Idiot Guidos or something. Yeah. That's what it was called. It was just like, hey, we got Joe Matarese. And, like, no research. They're like, hey, what do you do? You know, they don't even know what you are.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a comedian. Oh, you come on. You know, you don't seem funny. Those guys always say that. You don't seem funny. I'm like, well...
thanks a lot. You're really you're making me feel hilarious right now. And I go, hey, you know, I think you got ADD. I said that to him. I go, because yeah. I can tell because I got it. I can tell by the way you're interviewing me, you got like an attention deficit disorder. He goes, yeah, I heard it. I heard that. I got that. What is it? What is it called? He like was such an idiot. I've never even heard of it.
He's that
like,
dumb?
What's ADD? What is it? What does it stand? What is that
like when you get with another guy?
Yeah. I got Ed. What is that? I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. So
I bet you it sounds like it was a great interview.
Yeah. If somebody could look that one up. I would love to find the stuff that I did that went horrifically wrong and make a montage. I did the Apollo once.
Yeah.
Just got booed off
stage. That's
tough. I don't know where that video, where do these videos go? I cursed on purpose because I didn't want it to air.
Yeah. Oh
really?
Yeah. So the Showtime at the Apollo.
No, it wasn't Showtime at the Apollo. They used to book, if you remember, there was Showtime at the Apollo, and then they would cut it together.
Yeah.
So the second 30 minutes of the hour was just like acts going on at the Apollo. So they would have you do comedy at the Apollo. You weren't on the amateur night.
Right.
That's how bad it was. They booed, you know, the paid comedian.
Yeah. That crowd is notoriously, though, tough.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's why they actually have the big hook that they bring out on stage.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have that when I did. All right, well, it just went horrifically bad, and I just started cursing because I didn't want it to air.
Like, did you start with the bathtub joke?
I went off on air. I was never funnier. Like, I have some moments in my career that I'm just like, oh, my, I'm being so mean that it's so funny to me when I watch it back because I used to have such a bad anger problem.
But now you're good.
Yeah.
And like speaking to the mental health thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I through many, many hours of therapy and much medication, which I tried to lower recently.
What are you taking, if I may ask?
On your own?
Yes. No, I asked the doctor. I said, you know, I'm having trouble creatively because this is what
happens. Can't get pregnant.
I can't get pregnant. And I think, you know, on top of that ad thing I got, I think I got this anger thing. No, I actually was having, I felt like I was too, like, as I guess anyone who's on an antidepressant knows, it's like your anxiety, your anger goes away, but you're just.
It creates other issues.
There's no sadness. I'm at funerals giggling. Hey, it's my best friend. Too soon. You know?
Too soon. At the wake.
Yeah. At the wake, I'm looking forward to the after party. You guys going? We're all going. You know?
Wow, so, Joe's really callous about this.
Yeah. So I decided to lower it from 20 to 10. And this is when I realized I needed to raise it back up again. I had an outburst at my son's Little League game.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah, that sounds normal, though.
Yeah.
And so how bad did it get?
I think Casey will relate to this. Do you have a son playing baseball?
I got a son playing baseball, daughter playing softball. I get it. So what did the umpire do?
Tell me how you would handle this. It wasn't even the umpire.
All right.
And this is what's the greatest thing about when you do radio and other sort of social media or podcasting. You get these fans that are like, you were right. Like, they don't care that, like, I got to go there, though. Like, I'm not never going back.
Yeah.
I can't yell at everybody and just walk back next game going, hey, how you guys been? What's happening? Oh, yeah, I know. I called you guys all total jerk-offs a couple days ago, but I was just on the wrong meds.
Yeah.
Hey, but I'll forget
that holds, that holds a little weight.
What set you off?
So I lowered a meds. You guys can relate to this. My son's on third base. And there's two outs. Kid pitching stinks. It's a kid lobbing it, right? Just lobbing it.
Right.
And we got a decent hitter up. And his coach likes to call these straight steals.
Yeah.
Not even pass ball. In Little League, they're going to throw a pass ball. Steal if they throw it past the catcher, right? Yeah. Throws it right to the catcher. And my son's coach likes to do this. He thinks he knows when the pitcher and the catcher aren't paying attention. When the catcher throws it back.
So he does this thing where
the delayed steal, when the catcher throws it back to the pitcher, and he'll just go. Right? So my son goes, he gets tug out at home plate. Now, I can't even sit by the parents anymore when I go to the games.
Keep you away?
No, there's no dads. It's like all moms. They're not talking about the game, and they're not. This is great because I'm not in New York where I live. So I hope this doesn't get back to them. They're so annoying.
Yeah.
If you can relate. Like, they're not like my wife's normal. Like, even my wife
She would hate it that I'm saying this. My wife doesn't like him either. Like, there's not, there's like one wife that she likes. There's one wife that she likes, but when that woman's not there, my wife will just look at me like, oh my God, these women are so annoying.
So it's unpleasant. So you're sitting away.
I move away and I sit behind the backstop.
And then, and your son gets tagged out?
My son gets tugged out, but he did get under the tag.
Okay.
Right? The coach comes running out, yelling at the umpire. He's like, he was in. The ump's like, sorry, out. And the coach looks at me because I'm behind home plate. And he goes, Joe, did he get under? Did he get under?
No.
And then it just went. I go, yeah, he did get under. But that was a stupid play, dude. I go, it's two outs. Two outs, you're going to a straight steal? I go, I've been tallying it up in my head. You're 1 for 7 on this play. I've been counting it. Because I had been mad two games ago about the same thing. Because he keeps doing it.
Yeah.
Because we have one kid on the team that's really fast.
Well, how old are these guys, by the way?
They're 11. They're not 6. Okay. They're 11.
Right. Okay. Right.
They're men. Yeah.
This is a
they're
travel
getting,
team.
It's getting more competitive.
They can actually make the throw.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. They're not. Yeah, it's travel baseball. These kids know how to play. It's supposed to be the best kids from the area on each of these travel teams. You don't think a pitcher knows just how to throw it right back to the catcher?
Right.
Right? So I go, what are you doing, dude? It's 1 for 7, blah, blah, blah. I go, I can't even talk to you. And I walk away. I'm just full anger.
Can
right?
you feel that it's getting away from you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I yell at his wife, too.
Oh.
What?
Because his wife goes, what's wrong with stealing home? It's done all the time. I go, on a pass ball. I go, my son's not Jackie Robinson. That's what I said. And she just looked at me like, I don't know who Jackie Robinson is. I go, he's not Jackie Robinson, right? And she goes, they do it all the time. I go, no, they don't. You don't do that, right? And then I go, I can't even talk to any of you guys either. And I just leave, right? But I guess I didn't go off the meds. I went down the 10.
Yeah.
So when I got to right field near where my car was, the anger started to go away.
Oh.
Right? And Tiger Woods, it was the day he won the Masters.
So okay.
I'm on my phone watching the Masters in the outfield watching Tiger win, right? And then my wife comes over and she just goes, I couldn't take your side in front of everybody because I wasn't on your side. What the heck?
Yeah,
what
yeah.
was that? And I go, I'm already not mad anymore. I mm-hmm. said, I feel so stupid. I want to go apologize. What should I say? I go, help me. She goes, you're a comedian. They've all seen you do stand up. They've come to your shows. They'll probably think it's hilarious if you just tell them you lowered your meds.
Right. Okay, did
so
you?
I went over and I just went with straight honesty, like what I do on the radio and I do on stage. I just go, I address them like I was up on doing a set. I go, I just looked at the whole bleacher and I went, I lower my meds, everybody. I apologize. That was ridiculous.
Wow. Did that patch it up?
And then I went up to, they all laughed. They go, dude, we've done the same thing. One woman goes, my husband's almost gotten fist fights after these games. She goes, that was nothing.
But well, now that you've said what you said, and they find out about you not liking any of them,
I'll make it sound great. I like two of them.
Okay,
I'm not going to know which.
You
two.
Started with one; it's already two. It's you're two doing
yeah.
well.
Everybody's three. Going. Yeah, I think I'm one of the two. Yeah,
but
I'm good.
Here's classic. And if you want to pull up my Twitter feed and can find it, there was an actual play a week later that made ESPN. Where,
really?
Where a game? I think it was the Cubs. The Cubs against somebody, it went extra innings, and they tried the same play.
Oh, I thought, I thought it was your Little League team.
And the announcer goes, he's out by 10 feet. Oh, what are you doing? Right? So I send it to the coach. I go, it doesn't even work in the pros. Because we already made up and laughed, you know? Yeah. But, oh, my God. I don't know, you know?
But you're good now. You feel you're good.
Yeah, well, I went up to 15.
You went up to 15.
20 was too much. 10 was like as my mother-in-law would say, you're on enough for a flea. She says, you need more. So 15, I'm not killing Little League coaches. I still disagree with the play.
You slid into Harry Callis there for a moment there when you were doing your...
I do.
I guess I've
been posting... Yeah, there's the play you just put on your screen. I've been doing Harry Callis on the internet at times.
Yeah.
Doing Bryce Harper's home
Give
runs.
Give us a little. Yeah.
Well, I did one the other. Well, show me some footage, and I'll just announce.
You know, they air Harry in the stadium when they hit home runs. They're like, it's out of here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I was actually because I'm the king of a million ideas because of ADD.
Yeah,
But one of them was is doing one of those, doing the face swap and doing every Bryce Harper home run the whole year as Harry Collison, putting them on YouTube.
Dude, that's easy to do it.
I did one, and then I get lazy. I did one.
Back up the video here. So
yeah, let's back up the video. Is this
the grand slam from the other night?
This is the grand slam. It's an away game against the St. Louis Cardinals. They try to go low and inside, and he hits it. Oh my God, that is out of here. This is one of my favorite new things to say, but Bryce Harper, you are the man.
Spot on.
I love saying that. That's
awesome. Well, listen.
I love Bryce, man. I'm excited about this season.
It's very cool. We have unfortunately got to wrap stuff up in the interest of time. But I have some tickets to
see. Yeah.
Joe, I have a pair of tickets to see him tonight, by the way, at 8 o'clock at Punchline. You can get your tickets if you need to purchase them, punchlinephilly.com. There's two shows, Friday and two Saturday, in addition to tonight, but let's take five callers. You can go see Joe Matarese, 215-263-WMMR, 8 p.m. is when that is. But, you know, it is the Mental Health Comedy Tour, and it's sponsored with To Write Love on Her Arm. So merch and so forth and all the stuff purchased at the show is going to go to
that. And I also do a weekly video podcast called Medicated, and I'm giving 50% of all the subscription money that I make off of the Medicated visual podcast to the nonprofit.
That's so excellent,
they can
just
go to JoeMatarese.com to check out and subscribe into my Patreon page for my new website. My new podcast.
Good for you for doing that.
That was awful, Matarese. Didn't like that at all.
He's
you
out
are
of here.
Not the man.
All right, good to see you, Joe. Thanks for being here, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Joe Matarese.
Yeah!
We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. You stay there.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We had to make some adjustments. Our buddy Joe Matarese was here, so we wanted to spend some time talking to him. The fact that he was going to be at Punchline Comedy Club tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. So we had skipped the bizarre file, but we're going to make good on that because I have some stories I love to share with you, and we're going to do that very thing right about now.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Join the Preston and Steve Show live from Keenan's. It says this Friday. It's not.
No!
No. We're at Subaru of America tomorrow. By the way, I should have been mentioning that. I forgot that we need to mention that. We're doing a live broadcast tomorrow. We're excited about it. But next Friday, May 24th. Is that next Friday?
No,
it's two Fridays.
Two Fridays
Dear
from tomorrow.
God. It is presented by Coors Light, the Jersey Shore's most refreshing beer. Casey, could you edit that for me, please?
Sure.
Thank you very much. All right. Let me get into some stories here. A man allegedly flooded a hotel while high on drugs by opening fire hydrants on 18 stories, causing $1.6 million worth of damage.
Did you see the footage?
I did not.
It's a disaster.
No kidding. Bradley Vocht. Was found in a stairwell with a mop in hand by firefighters as they responded to more than 400,000 liters of water flooding out of the South Bank building.
I can fix this.
The man had been consuming large amounts of drugs in his hotel room before he decided to open all the fire hydrants on levels 1 to 18. He had a bit out of his mind wasted. More than 300 residents and guests at the 33-story Experience Bella Hotel had been evacuated. Water leaked through floors and began shorting out electricity.
We would like you to leave now.
Firefighters told him to go downstairs for his own safety, but later found him on the fourth level, allegedly opening another hydrant while he was there.
He just got it in his mind. It was something to do.
He was then found lying on the ground, partially submerged in water and still holding the mop. Mr. Vocht then barricaded himself in a room downstairs before lashing out at police when they tried to arrest him, according to the hotel manager.
They allege that he was found with two Ziploc bags of methamphetamines.
Ah.
And that before the incident, he was consuming drugs with another male in his hotel room. Police found the other man still in his room, oblivious to the 400,000 liters of water that his friend had sent down the stairwell. Vocht has a hearing coming up on seven separate charges.
I need more towels in my room.
A 62-year-old man is dead after, this is terrible, isn't this, after police say a 17-year-old boy attacked him for sexually assaulting his younger sister, though investigators found video footage that showed the assault never occurred.
Oh, man.
The guy did not do anything to this girl. The 16-year-old girl said Michael Fife, who's 62 years old, sexually assaulted her while the two were on a bus. The girl immediately called her 17-year-old brother and told him about the alleged assault. Minutes later, police said the brother located Fife getting off of the bus, ran toward him, and assaulted him. Fife fell back to the sidewalk, suffered head injuries, and was left unconscious while the brother fled on foot. A witness called police and paramedics to the scene. He was transported to the hospital at 6:15. The 16-year-old girl called police to report the sexual assault that she said occurred on the bus. And then detectives reviewed the video footage of the incident that showed the guy just walking past her. But authorities said no assault occurred at all.
So what's going to happen to her? Because she filed a false report.
I would imagine she'll be charged. She's 16 years old, but I don't know what they can do. Police said Fife died of his injuries. The case is still under investigation. That's terrible, man. Let me see here. How about this one? Disney World may be the most magical place on earth, but it turned into a legal nightmare for a great-grandmother with arthritis. A 69-year-old woman was arrested at a Disney World checkpoint when an Orange County deputy found CBD oil in her purse. She then spent 12 hours behind bars before being released on a $2,000 bond.
Oh, man. She's doing it for the pain relief.
Yeah. Hester Jordan Burkhalter, a great-grandmother from North Carolina, began using CBD oil for her arthritis after her doctor recommended it. She even had a note from the medical professional in her purse at the time of the arrest, but it didn't matter. She said that she had been planning on the trip for 2 years. I said, I have really bad arthritis in my legs and my arms and my shoulder. I use CBD oil for the pain because it helps. When she was stopped by security outside of the Magic Kingdom, however, she was arrested. She said, I've never had one speeding ticket in my life. Nothing. Oh,
isn't medical marijuana legal, though, in Florida?
It is, yes.
Huh.
She doesn't have a
license for it?
She doesn't have it, yeah. That's the thing about medical marijuana. So if let's say you have a card, you have a prescription card here in Pennsylvania. If you take it to another state that it's legal in, it's not legal for you in that state.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So despite the fact that it's sold on store shelves across the state, CBD oil is technically illegal in the state of Florida unless the user has a prescription for it.
All right, here's another dumb question, though. If you go to another state, can you get that state's card, or can you only get a medical
pretty
marijuana
sure you
card?
Sure you got to be a resident. I don't know, Case. Okay. I'm not 100% sure, but there might be stipulations if you travel there for business regularly or
perhaps
like
they make a temporary accommodation.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So even though CBD is legal in Florida and she had it on her, the reason that she was arrested was because it was from out of state.
Because she doesn't have a prescription card in that state.
That is asinine.
I know, it's ridiculous. One other Walt Disney World story, but it's a little nicer than that one. If you think
it involves heroin.
No, if you think your resume isn't getting the recognition it deserves, you could always post it on a billboard. And that's exactly what Brandon Fox, who currently lives in New York City, has done to try and get a job at Walt Disney World. The billboard is double-sided and reads, Dear Walt Disney World executives and HR, experienced EAPA professional seeking a position as Walt Disney World assistant. Thanks. So he put as part of the company's college program and would be willing to move back to Florida to work for the company. He said that he was inspired to rent the billboard while riding the subway in New York City. A spokesperson for Walt Disney said, we appreciate the creativity and encourage anyone interested in a role with us to apply at DisneyCareers.com.
You know what that means.
It's not going to work. Yeah. All right. And there you go. That is what I have for you in the Bizarre File. So today's lesson question, which we're segueing right into because we skipped the B file earlier. I think I got to go with this. David Montgomery was like a father to Larry Boa. What is pancake to Steve? 215-263-WMMR.
True.
We just talked about this not that long ago, but David Montgomery was like a father to Larry Boa. What is pancake like to Steve? 215-263-WMMR. If you heard, you should call. you might win, and we're going to do the trash while your calls are coming through.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, and this morning it is brought to you by Mulch Works of Aston, PA, offering mulch, topsoil, compost, decorative, and crushed stone, grass seed, straw, and more. Mulch Works delivers to residential and commercial markets. Visit them online at mulches.com or stop by in person to meet their friendly staff. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Brooke Shields suing beauty company Charlotte Tilbury over using her image to market an eyebrow pencil. Charlotte Tilbury says the aging Shields is wrong and that the image you're using is actually Joe Pesci.
Oh.
Meghan Markle and Prince Harry announcing the name of their newborn son, Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor. The news came as a joyous surprise to the royal couple's good friend, Lord Jughead. And finally, Khloe Kardashian rumored to be forever banned from the Met Gala because event organizer Anna Wintour considers her to be a, quote, C-list star. Khloe Kardashian says it's a coincidence, noting that Wintour happens to be on her list of C's.
Yeah.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty, to the phones we go. David Montgomery is like a father to Larry Boa. What was Pancake, or what is Pancake, to Steve? And I will go to, let's try this. Is your name Cork?
Yes, yes it is.
All right, very good, and Cork.
Gadzooks to you, sir.
Do me a favor and tell me, what is Pancake like to Steve?
It would be anti-pancake.
That's
or
correct.
Auntie.
Yes.
Yeah.
They both work. Well done, Cork. Hang on a second. We're going to set you up with a family four-pack to Maury's Piers Water Park passes and enjoy both beachfront water parks. And you can check out this week's big friggin' deal from Maury's Piers. And you can get a same-day ride and water park combo. Ticket is $40. Tickets for $40, I'm sorry. And that's access to all three piers in both water parks. You can get it now through Sunday. WMMR.com. Use the keyword deal. That is our big friggin' deal this week, so don't miss out on it. Let's get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All righty. This morning is brought to you by Sterling Pig Brewery. Attention, craft beer lovers. Sterling Pig Brewery's second location, Public House, is now every week from 4 to 6 p.m. For more information, visit sterlingpig.com. Ghost Mastermind Tobias Forge has confirmed that he will return to the studio in January 2020 to begin work on the band's follow-up to 2018's prequel album. Forge revealed his plans for the fifth Ghost Studio LP, saying, "I want to make a different record from prequel. I want it to feel different. I definitely have a darker, heavier record in mind." He added that prequel turned out to be a little ballad heavy, which it did. It had some
yes.
things that were a little bit different.
This one's going to be darker.
And the band will embark.
The bark will embark
on a North American tour this fall.
It's going to be darker and more scarier.
Support of the death.
Oh, boo. Boo to you.
Yeah.
Make you shiver down your spine.
Blink 182 has released a new single called "Blame It on My Youth," along with an accompanying lyric created by renowned. I'm sorry. Yeah. When I read the story earlier this morning, I thought it was "Blame It on My Mouth."
Blame it on my mouth. Yeah, yeah.
But it's "Blame It on My Youth." along with an accompanying lyric video created by renowned graffiti artist Risk.
Risk, always my favorite.
And that's all caps, by the way. That's how he spelled Risk's name. The track is the first new music issued by the band since
you just made a mess in my mouth.
There you go. Release of its 2016 album, California, and also its first effort through a brand new recording deal with Columbia Records. It's the first taste of the band's upcoming eighth studio album, and it's second with guitarist Matt Skiba. Skiba.
Skiball. Every time I hear Skiba, I think of Skiball.
Metallica guitarist Kirk Hammett slipped and fell during the band's concert Ooh. Last night in Milan, Italy. The incident happened during the guitar solo in the song "Moth into Flame." Kirk was soloing with his right foot on the guitar effects pedal board when he slipped and fell backwards, hitting the ground. hitting the ground with his feet. High above his head, so he did one of those.
Oh, yeah.
When your feet fly way up, which is hilarious. Luckily, he appeared uninjured, laughing off the spill for a moment before picking himself. Howard Dean. Before picking himself up and continuing to play the track. Immediately following the show, Hammett took to his Instagram to post video of his fall from two different angles.
Get on his boom boom.
He wrote, I slipped on my wet wah-wah pedal, and it rained so much I felt like I was playing guitar in the shower. Milan was the fourth gig for the spring-summer 2019 European leg of Metallica's tour. Lenny Kravitz has rolled out his fall, summer, and fall North American itinerary. Kravitz, who's touring behind his 11th studio album, 2018's Raise Vibration, kicks off the leg August 21st in Virginia. And he will be on the road playing primarily theater dates throughout September 21st. But he will be stopping through Philadelphia and will be appearing at the Met. So look for Lenny.
So in this day and age, if you're a Lenny Kravitz, you release an album, where does that album get played?
I don't know, but you know
does
what?
Does it even matter that it doesn't get played?
There is a, so on that Lenny Kravitz presale today, so actually Incubus and Lenny Kravitz presales are today.
Oh, today?
Yeah, so Incubus's show is October 5th, Kravitz is August 22nd, both shows. At the Met, both shows, general sale is tomorrow, but the presale is today. I think I gave you all the information that you need.
Steve, I get, you know, some musicians kind of age out of formats a little bit, and especially if they're pop-oriented, they can age out, and then they just kind of release things, and they don't necessarily get air support, but they can still sell tickets, you know.
The albums will sell to the fan base. Yeah. Madonna was just bemoaning this fact. She believes she's the subject of ageism.
Anybody playing her record? I have no idea. I have no idea if pop radio is playing that or not, but there's going to come a time where they'll just stop doing it. Yeah. And, you know, maybe. And really,
we have audio stations of like her frowning.
Like adult contemporary radio, a lot of times they won't play brand new stuff any longer.
It's true. So, yeah. You know, yeah.
But who knows? One last story. Led Zeppelin has announced that the band's first officially sanctioned documentary will be happening. The 50th anniversary film is currently in production, with the still untitled film being directed by British filmmaker Bernard McMahon, best known for his sprawling documentary on the birth of the American song titled American Epic. The film, which has no release date, will only feature surviving members Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, and John Paul Jones telling the story with no outside voices or conjecture.
How come none of the dead members would participate?
Jimmy Page said in a statement announcing the project, "When I saw everything Bernard had done visually and sonically on the remarkable achievement that is American Epic, I knew he would be qualified to tell our story." Robert Plant added, "Seeing Will Shade and so many other important early American musicians brought life to the big screen in American Epic inspired me to contribute to a very interesting and exciting story." John Paul Jones went on to say, "The time was right for us to tell our own story for the first time in our own words, and I think that this film will really bring that story to life. Unlike most documentaries, which span the entire career of a band, according to a release, McMahon will focus on their development and rise to fame as the three members each left session work and existing bands to come together in 1968 along with late drummer John Bonham. The film will chart their career until 1970, as the second album, released the previous year, cements them as the dominant rock band of the era." So they're just going to stop there.
Interesting.
They're not going to go on and dive into John's death and all that other stuff. So, yeah, it should be interesting. But it's the first time they've officially sanctioned a documentary, and they'll be in it. So maybe it'll be, you know, Steve, the, you know, talking about that, they just said just the three surviving members will tell the story. Maybe it's going to be like that Apollo 11 documentary where there's no narration at all. It's just the from the people themselves and the newscasters, and I thought it was a really interesting way to do a documentary.
Just let it happen sort of organically.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be that way. There you go. That's what I got for your music news. We're going to take a quick break and get ready to come back and wrap things up. Don't forget, we have a trip to Hollywood to give away. Pierre will be in here to give us that letter. Two more to go, and then we give it to you tomorrow. We'll be right back.
Bud Light presents
Barbecue 2019, Saturday, May 18th, BB&T Pavilion.
It's time for flip-flops and tank tops, yo! As MMR kicks off your summer concert season, 8 killer bands on one stage, Shinedown. All you'll ever be is a faded memory of a party. Joe Jett and the Blackhearts. I hate myself for loving The Struts. Evanescence, plus GA performances from Fozzy, Bad Wolves, The Glorious Sons, and Serapo. Lawn tickets start at just $25 for a full day of rock. MMRBQ 2019.
Presented by Bud Light, brewed with hops, barley, water, and rice. And sponsored by Rita's Water Ice and Godshall's Turkey Bacon.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Today has been a very enjoyable program. No dump, no delay at all.
Yeah.
Construction going on here in the offices, and they cut the lines to our dump button.
Apparently happened in the last break as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were like skips and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what happened. So they're working on it. They're trying to figure it out. So,
you know, so around here, we've described it. It's sort of like the Winchester Mansion, because suddenly there'll be a doorway and suddenly a door that existed is gone.
He's not kidding.
And there's a new room someplace. Yeah. And it's what's going on all over this floor.
You'll be walking or turn a corner of a place you've been walking around for 15 years.
Yeah.
And then there's a hole where there wasn't before.
Right.
And it's really weird.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that's what we're dealing with here. Today we are saying goodbye to one of our interns, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Because I found out he landed a job around here.
Oh. It's very cool.
How about that? This is Adam, everybody. Intern.
Yeah.
Adam.
I'm going to clap for myself.
It is his last day as a presidency. Well, tomorrow's the last day as a Preston and Steve intern, but we're going to be broadcasting live, so you may not be around.
Yeah, I'll be somewhere. It just depends on where I get put. I'll be around.
Where do you go to school?
Temple.
All right. And when did you start here with us?
January.
Okay.
Yeah, beginning of January. Just kind of showed up. But I've been working with Beasley as promotions since the summer, though.
Okay. There you go. All right, yeah. Nice.
And so they offered you a part-time position or something here, or what?
Not here. It's with another company.
Okay.
It's part-time, you know, just because the hours, they don't want to give you full-time pay. But I don't care about that. You have to start somewhere. You have to get your foot in the door. So
yeah, totally. I didn't hear the whole conversation. I thought it was around here. Well, then we won't see you, and we'll be happy.
Yeah.
No,
I'll swing by every once in a while.
Yeah, we expect that.
Flip the bird, you know.
But this is what you have been going to school for.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I used the rest of my GI Bill, got a second degree. I used to be a counselor down in Baltimore, substance abuse. But, you know, I would tell people for years, you gotta find your passion. You gotta follow your passion. That's what's going to help you through sobriety. It's going to help you through life. It doesn't just have to be, you know, if you're facing addiction. And, you know, so I keep telling all my clients that for years. And I was thinking to myself, I've always wanted to go into radio. I have the time for it. Everybody in my entire life has been telling me that when I was in the military, in the Coast Guard, my command was always telling me, man, you got the voice for radio. They loved it whenever I was on watch. Because, you know, I'd be chiming in every 30 minutes and be like, oh, man, that guy sounds good. And I was like, it's like, all right, you know what? Maybe I should try for it. I'll go out for it. I moved to Philadelphia with my fiance. She's from around here. She grew up in Wynwood.
Yeah.
And she was pursuing her master's, and I figured, well, I'll apply for the schools in the area. I hear Temple has a good radio program. I put my application in a year and a half ago, got in. I just graduated today, actually.
Hey, congratulations. Hey.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, it's all worked out. I mean, you know, you have a plan, you pursue it, you just work hard, and things will happen for you.
Listen to this guy.
There you go.
Maybe I should be a motivational speaker.
Yes.
Robbins.
Wow. All right. Well, have you had a fun time with the show?
Oh, man, I loved it. Are you kidding me? I didn't grow up listening to you guys. I'm not from the area. I was a military brat. I don't really have roots.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always loved radio. I've loved the companionship, the camaraderie that you kind of get just from being a listener.
Yeah.
And so being a part of the Preston and Steve show, even in the minor way I was, oh, man, it's a dream come true.
Good.
It's awesome. It's fantastic.
Very cool.
Well, onward and upward, man. We hope the best for you. You're a really positive guy. We've liked having you around here.
It's been awesome.
And I think he's going to do well.
I think you'll do fine.
You're fantastic.
Absolutely. Makes my heart thump. I'm feeling good.
Good.
Feeling real good.
I'm happy. Well, good luck with everything.
Yeah,
all right.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Adam, guys.
Yeah.
Latest one. We send off into the wild. But he's got some direction.
And that's a beautiful thing. So, all right. Well, listen, I real quick would like to thank our buddy Joe Matarese for being here this morning.
Oh, there you go.
Joe popped in and chatted about his show tonight at Punchline at 8 p.m. He's got two on Friday and Saturday, and they're 7:30 and 9:45. You can go to punchlinephilly.com to get those tickets. We should do the letter of the day. Ready, Case?
Yeah, sure.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
E as in electrocardiogram.
E as in electrocardiogram. All right, and we have a trip for two to the world premiere of Godzilla King of Monsters. It's Saturday, May 18th at the TCL Chinese Theater in Hollywood, California. Godzilla King of the Monsters opens May 31st, and that is rated PG-13. So we give that away tomorrow, which is wonderful. How you doing, Pierre?
Good.
What's on the show today? Oh, you want to talk about something first?
First, a couple of things I'd like to discuss for a few hours.
Sure.
And then we'll get to...
Oh, yeah. Hey, Marissa, we got to get our winners for Captain Marvel. Are we going to call them later? Hang on, you look confused.
Sorry, I didn't mean to distract you.
Yeah, I didn't know we were going to do those on the air. I thought we were going to do those.
I don't know. Nick just pointed to it.
I didn't know if we had to do it by the end of the show or not, so I apologize.
No, yeah, but everybody has a...
Forget this part. Rewind this. Never watch this part again. Thank you very much.
Look at this guitar.
Hey, what are the things you want to talk about, Pierre?
I liked Joe Matarese and his conversation about Cher, because I saw Cher a couple of weeks ago in Philly.
Oh, you did?
And she is amazing. You know, I suspect she's had some work done on the body, but you don't keep a body like that if you don't work out. She was phenomenal and funny and self-deprecating. And at one point she said, I can't believe you. I'm still filling arenas. I can't believe you all came out to see me. And then she had a mic attached to her costume, which changed with every number. But she said, I'm going to tell you my age. And she put her hands over her ears. And she said, I'm going to be 73 next month. And I'm going, holy S, how cool is that? You know, these artists that remind us that we don't have to act our age.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be Bruce or Mick Jagger or, you know, or Cher or Tony Bennett, you know, that just keep going and still bring it. There's something. It was very cool. So I'm glad that he liked that thing on Broadway. It made me want to go see it.
It's getting rave reviews.
That's part one. Part two is we're going to... do we do that? Yeah, we're going to have a fun show today. Because on the program today, I will have, it's Billy Joel's birthday. We're going to do a workforce block for Billy. He's 70 today. Tomorrow is the anniversary. I noticed this earlier in the week of the Golden Spike going in, which connected the railway system in the United States of America. And so they're going to have the 150th anniversary of it tomorrow. So all of that led me to think I should do a block of train songs.
Ooh.
So we're going to do – there's so many cool rock and roll train songs.
There's one that I really love. I don't know if it falls within the parameters, but it's The City of New Orleans.
That's a great song.
The Arlo Guthrie song?
That is a great song. And I think Bill would very much like that song.
He would not like that song.
No. You got the wrong Bill. You got the wrong Bill, Buster. And then we got a block of Cage the Elephant, and a couple of days ago, they tweeted the most bizarre thing that Jackie sent me a copy of, and one of them, it looks like at the very bottom of their coffee or a cup of cappuccino, there's an image, and they say, who do you see in this image? And they put it out to their fans on Twitter, and some people said Charles Manson, some people said Lemmy. And some people said Pierre.
Ah.
It's pretty. It's a pretty.
Well, you're in good company.
Thing. Yeah. That made me very happy. Because people still come up to me and go, dude, you look like Lemmy. And I go, no.
Oh, please. Wow. It does look like you.
It does look like you.
More you than Charles Manson or Lemmy.
Thank you.
It also looks like Walt Whitman a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. Of grass.
I don't know. It's just pretty weird. Anyway. So we're going to retweet that and do something with that, but we got to block a Cage the Elephant, so it comes in perfectly handy.
All righty, then. Thank you very much, Pierre. And speaking of thanks, I'll continue on that. I want to thank our sponsors, Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also, Coors Light, the Jersey Shore's most refreshing beer, and French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors, FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. Why take a chance with anybody else? Tomorrow morning, we broadcast live from the head
headquarters of Subaru of America in Camden, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
We broadcast from their new location for the first time last year. Excited to go back. Matt Ritter and company, our friends who do an amazing job at raising loads and loads of food and money and awareness for Phil Abundance and our Camp Out for Hunger. So we're paying it back to them tomorrow. And we always have a good time.
Oh, so. And they deserve it. They're so good.
Most definitely.
It's our pleasure to do it.
So that's it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Archie, this is a stupid name.
Next message.
I'm 50 and I finally understand wrestling. Thank you. I've seen this show, Dark Side of the Ring. It is amazing. And I never was into wrestling. But I am now.
Next message.
Alrighty, Noodle. Fun fact. While waiting at a red light, there's an actual difference in signs. One sign might say, wait for green. And the other sign might say, no turn on red. They're not the same thing. Please learn the rules of the road.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.